that's another episode of the Tillcast, episode 167, Wax the Floor. WTF.
This week we talk about a lot of the last dozen hardcore modes. 7 Days to Die, Warframe, Dota 2, Starbound, Alpha releases in general, Rust, and the Elder Scrolls Online.
You suck, Miyagi!
What the fuck? And we're back with another episode of the Tillcast, which is funny because I just said that right before the intro, so it's kind of redundant, and I hate it when I'm editing. I go like, "And we're back with our episode, blah blah blah, episode number blah blah blah," and then you guys do that, and as soon as it fades out, I go, "And we're back with another." It's just redundant.
Because
from now on,
redundant.
Whoever's modding the show,
just say, "Hey,"
has be like, "Ah, oh, that was great! Ha ha ha! What you said was funny, Rusty. Even if you're not fucking here, that's the best part. That's
amazing.
Yeah, we record that in part first.
Just start with the word hamsteak.
Hamsteak.
So let's go ahead and jump into things. I've been gone for a little bit.
So have I.
So yeah. So nobody cares. So we'll go ahead and jump around. And Rusty, what have you been doing this past 2 weeks?
Don't even start with me, dude.
Well, I'm starting with you.
All right, fine. Fuck you. All right.
Starting shit with you, back nine. What you got? Fester.
Fester.
Nickname of today is Fester.
No, shit. That fucking shit stuck at work.
Is that your name or what you do?
Yeah.
That's a name and a thing.
Yeah, that's right. let me see. I've played nothing but Warframe for the past 2 weeks.
Moving on.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
I'm not just kidding. What, that's all you've done. What about personal life? You done anything?
Yeah.
Warframe.
It's like I socialized with Justin and while playing Warframe.
Barely.
Pretty, yeah, right?
You just could hear him breathing.
No, it was more like, fuck.
No, I was busy a lot, and then I kept seeing him on there, and I felt guilty because it was like, hey, he's actually playing this game. I've been trying to egging him on to play. Maybe I'll jump in for a little bit.
And then when he does, I'm like, okay, and I gotta go watch the game.
So it's basically like, it's basically hanging out with a guy who sounds like he's a Tourette dude jacking off to porn. Just total silence, and you're fucked.
And that shotgun is amazing.
That shotgun is amazing.
That shotgun
Fuck.
Is amazing.
Fuck. Cocksucker.
Toothpaste! All right.
Now, I imagine when people with Tourette's masturbate, their Tourette outbursts are more relaxed.
Relaxed, so, to be like...
Yeah, it's just fuck.
Son of a bitch.
It's just very just deliberate.
Okay.
Cockstain.
All right, so...
Titty fuck. Toss your salad with a razor tongue. It's just really weird stuff. Anyways.
Fucking Colgate.
Yeah.
Right,
Colgate nipples. So. All
right.
Episode title, Colgate nipples.
Yeah. Peanut butter faggot. Anyways.
Anywho, I've been kind of going absolutely crazy with fucking school
Red dog
work.
Titties.
What?
Oh, you ever heard of red dog titties? It happens. When you twist them enough.
I'm going to drink my Red Bull in peace now.
And you ever give me your pregnant dog a red titty?
Wait.
It's like a red rocket, but with titties. You just twist them until they're red.
Red Rock.
They don't want to give milk no more, but it's like rubbing on a balloon after a while. So, then they get
you
a
laugh
little,
so hard you farted or what?
Then they get a little bitey after a while.
They get a little bitey.
Yeah,
it's just like experience flowing from the other side of the table.
It's knowledge here. That's what it is.
So it happens when you have a chihuahua and a whole bunch of spare time.
Yeah,
a Dober Wawa.
Dover.
That was probably the best commercial last night.
That's what, Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't even watched
it. It was a chick with like a chihuahua and...
No,
it was
with
a dude with a chihuahua and a chick with a Doberman. And the guy's like, well, you can compromise and just breed them together. And then this fucking horror show of like a chihuahua-sized dog with a fucking Doberman head. Was like trying to eat people. It was amazing.
It was a Dober Wawa.
Dober Wawa.
That's actually pretty intelligent.
Yeah, you should actually look that shit up.
Yeah, I'll find that shit at some point. Dober Wawa. I was thinking of a cocker poodle.
Cocker poodle?
that's what I thought. It was cocker poodle.
Cocker poodles.
Yeah.
Shit. No. I have. this wedding is coming up in a couple weeks, and I've been doing a fucking DJ thing again for that, as well as being best man. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to change music and be standing there.
I can tell you how to do that.
Okay.
Set a playlist.
Set up a playlist.
Oh no! All right,
it's coming up.
There's a little bit. I'll tell you how to do it. It's not that hard.
Okay.
So.
All right. You know. I'm sitting here thinking, clicker.
No. All right. Do you know the periods of time that you're going to be away?
No.
As long as you have a good memory for the songs.
It would be all right if it was, if it went according to schedule, but
yeah.
Weddings never go according to schedule. Well, here's the thing,
if you set up a whole block of already pre-mixed, and you know what song it starts with, what song it ends with, so when you hear that the song it ends with start, you know, okay, I need to head back there here in about 4 minutes. And that's something we used to do whenever we would basically do, like, the super long sets of bullshit at the early beginning of the night, where it's like you get stuck doing the first shift, which is like an hour and a half of DJing by yourself.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So you do, like, the first 40 minutes in a pre-made set, and then you do the last 45 actually spent, like, doing real DJ work. And because by that time, people are actually showing up. So I can show you how to make those.
Yeah, it's not that. It's the transition between the playlist that I've set up to, okay, they're ready to fucking walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
And then cutting that shit out. I have to be able to, like, cut that shit out, but not, like, leave the side of the groom. Because I'm the best man as well.
Set up the DJ booth right up there.
All you have to do is basically, here.
Yeah.
What you do is you can set up a track to have silence at the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. It's enough time for you to go up there, set it up, and get down by the side of the groom. All they need is one track to play as they walk down there. It's going to play all the way through.
Yeah, it's going to be two different tracks.
So you need to have one for the bride. Sorry, for the groom first, which is then going to transition into the bride's song. And then it all needs to shut up. But somebody needs to be able to switch it from groom song to bride song.
And that's where I'm supposed to be.
Okay, you're going to have to get an assistant then to help you with that. But do you know anybody who's going to be up there?
No.
Then you basically ask them to give you somebody that you can trust.
My wife's going to have the video camera. Do that.
Right, no, but she's going to be like,
yeah,
video camera. You know, I'm tired of fucking weddings.
All you have to do is just get them to get you somebody that they can trust to basically switch between the two songs. That's it.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Or get somebody else to be the best man.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't want Uncle Fester at my fucking wedding. Oh.
That's right. Go fuck yourself.
Is that the Fester finger?
That's right.
I've been festered.
You have been festered.
I've been rusty doodled.
No, I'm just hoping that nobody... All right. You stopped me in mid-sentence. Fuck you. All right.
You stammered.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. All right,
you festered. On that joke.
I did. No, I'm done with fucking weddings. I hope nobody else gets fucking married or asks me to do anything, and if anybody does, I swear I'm going to say no.
Well, you hear that? Rusty's off the market for weddings after this. He's done. Two in 1 year is enough.
Two DJs and he's done.
You're not even getting paid.
No, so. Dude, I'm not only fucking two DJs. It's a DJ and then DJ and best man all wrapped into one. They were gonna strap a fucking video camera to my other hand. I'm like, fucking, all right. I just need cymbals between my knees and a fucking.
You know what you do when they do that to you? You put it on the DJ booth and have it point at your crotch the entire time. So as you're DJing, you just reach over and start playing with your junk the entire time.
You just do that.
So. Or you play a guitar to the song right on your dickhead. So you make them regret. You make them regret. You banjo pick it.
Yeah, that's right.
So you pluck the two strings. So
it's more than two strings.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's like you're packing like a half roll of quarters from what I heard, but you know.
Wow. Yeah.
You've just been watching him?
Jesus.
Yeah, I said from what I heard.
He's fucking, like, over
there. I talked to Drew. I mean, you know.
Oh, jeez.
And yet, he doesn't deny it.
Oh, jeez. I know, that's the fucking
part. That's fucking terrible. Anywho, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Uninteresting.
Moving on. Jason, what have you been up to?
Really, he's probably less interesting than I am.
Actually.
challenge.
Yeah.
Like, oh, measuring Rusty's yeah. shit.
Since I'm in.
Well, I had to figure out if it was a half roll or a quarter roll of quarters. Yeah.
I wanted to knit him a sweater, so I had to make sure. It's a onesie sweater, so I wanted to really fit snug.
I wanted to make a pig in a blanket.
wanted to make him a fester sweater.
I deserve this for skipping a week, I guess.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Oh, fuck off.
So anyway, what have you been doing?
So, not much, because I'm in the middle of that training. So mm-hmm. I squeezed in a couple more hours of Arkham City.
Yeah.
Other than that, watched The World's End.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Mm.
Good movie.
Loved it. That movie's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You should have seen Rusty after watching Nick Castle kick a bunch of, or Nick Frost kick a bunch of robot ass.
Nick Castle.
Yeah.
I am the king. They call me the king.
And watch the new Percy king. Jackson with the wife. Hmm.
I walked away at Percy Jackson.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna ask.
Yeah.
So is Harry Potter? I mean, Percy yeah,
exactly.
Jackson.
Right.
So strangely enough, I've seen that movie.
Oh, it's so fucked up. Was it the girlfriend? Or?
Well, her kid wanted to see it, and I was hanging out with her and her kid, so yeah. We decided to go see a movie he could see. Yeah. It's a kid's movie.
It is. I mean, but it's one enough that if she decides when one of the nephews or nieces are over to play a movie, I could stand sitting there through it.
It's just...
But it's not really enjoyable for adults.
What, like, if you had kids, I could see, like, you could sort of... I'd rather watch the Narnia movies, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I still haven't even finished those.
Fucking Harry Potter is even better than this shit.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Harry Potter, but...
I've never seen any of the movies.
No, I haven't.
You gotta get past the first two, and then...
So, back in another time, when it first came out, I was in college.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, it sounded a lot like Hulk Hogan, convinced me that you could smoke a lot of pot and watch those movies, and they were fucking awesome. But
that doesn't even make sense. Wow. Really, he did?
Yeah.
Dude.
He's like, I want to go see the Harry Pothead.
Yeah. Nah, okay, the first two are they're good, but they're very kid-oriented.
Yeah.
Once you get past that into, like, Goblet of Fire, it starts to get more older teenager, and then you gotta get past Order of the Phoenix, because Order of the Phoenix is really
was just
boring.
Flat.
So
it,
it's basically
five movies in,
it's the two. No. It gets good by the third. But I mean, they're good. The first two are good. It's just it's kind of kid-oriented.
But Order of the Phoenix is kind of like the Two Towers.
Yeah, it's basically the story driven one where it's really explaining the divide between Muggles and pure bloods and all that. And then once you get past Order of the Phoenix, then you've got Half Blood Prince. You've got.
Deathly Hallows 1 and 2,
which are the two best of the entire series.
Those are really standable.
Prisoner of Azkaban is really fucking good.
Yeah.
Half-Blood Prince is really good. Deathly Hallows 1 and 2 are really good. There's like 9. So,
I don't know. I've watched like 2.
And every one of them's good. I mean, I have the whole series on Blu-ray because I like them enough that I bought them. It's like fucking $25 for all of them on Blu-ray in a collection.
Saves me having to read the fucking books.
So...
Deathly Hallows 1 and 2 actually is
those
really
are
good.
Those are probably the... But the thing is, there's a lot of backstory you miss if you don't watch
if you
the
don't
others,
watch the others.
So I have to watch, like... I have to watch 10 hours to get to...
I'll tell you one. Actually, this is a lot more than that. But they're about 2 to 2.5 hours each.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this.
Jeez,
no,
that's a long starting
by
point.
The time you get to... No. It's not suckage all the way to the last two movies. None of it sucks. It's just the first two are very kid-oriented because...
There's definitely a progression.
Yeah.
Grown men defending Harry Potter.
No, I'm not defending shit. I like the series, so... And how many other people like the series? There's nothing
millions.
To defend there. Yeah, millions, actually. Yeah. There's nothing to defend. Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to explain to you that it's not suckage all the way through till the end. The first two are good, it's just they're more kid-oriented.
Which would you rather do, watch the first three Harry Potter movies or watch
or
the
play
prequels?
Final Fantasy 13?
Or watch the prequels for the fucking Star Wars?
I'd rather watch Harry Potter at that point. So, And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I would much rather watch
Harry Potter. Yeah, I only watched those, the quote unquote first movies once.
For Jar Jar?
Yeah. You could watch every Resident Evil movie.
I'd rather from take the beginning. Harry Potter. Yeah. I walked out on Revelations. Really? I walked out. When she started levitating the motorcycle and rocks, it was like 20 minutes in the film. I walked out. Yeah. I was like, fuck this. So.
Yeah, I watched Extinction. I think we went to watch Extinction in 3D. I think we
stopped at Extinction.
Fucking horrible. I didn't even make it that far after. I think it was Evolution.
The first one's not bad.
She's like when she's like the first one's okay. That's good, but all the others are
kind of survival horror.
Once they brought the whole nemesis into it, in the second one they fucked the whole thing up. And I was like, they already messed it up a little bit in the first one, especially when the director of the movie is that they're talking about in an interview, and he's like, "Well, we can't call them zombies. They're not really zombies." And you're like, "Okay, wait a second.
Wait.
What?" He's like, "No, they're not really zombies. They're basically people who've been exposed to this thing, and you know they feast on human flesh." You're like, Zombies, you know?
Yeah, you mean the game that spurned, like, the whole zombie genre for video
They basically
games?
Said, we're just taking the name and a little bit of the premise, and at that point I was like, this is gonna suck. And the first movie was okay. The one thing that pissed me off was that they didn't have one green potted plant in the entire movie. Just as a little Easter egg.
I know, right?
I was watching for it the entire time. I was like, this will actually make me like this movie if they have one green potted plant. And they didn't. I thought, okay, this is okay. We'll see what happens in the next one. And after that, I was just, fuck this. This is stupid.
Should have had some scene where she's managing inventory.
Right.
She's like, I can't take that. I don't have enough space.
Yeah. I didn't see her push
one
crate.
I'm going to have to toss the tampons out.
I didn't see her push one crate around.
And there was not a typewriter. Was there a typewriter?
No typewriters, and no ribbons to hang yourself with. I was just like, fuck this. Yeah. At least movies that are based on video games usually give it little Easter eggs to the video game. These guys wanted to take it and be as far away from the games as possible. And that was okay. It's just call it something else.
You know what's crazier is you have people that are fans of just the movies with hardly any knowledge of the games.
I know.
I hate those people.
It's like Silent Hill. I hate anybody. I'd say that's kind of strong. I hate their movie taste when they say, "Oh, I love the Silent Hill movies. They're so good and twisted." You're just like, "What?"
You never played the game, motherfucker.
Yeah, they probably also like Dave Matthews. So
yeah, they probably do, and they probably like Dane Cook. So one of the big problems for me with the games though is that. The movies start off really fucking great, and they fucked up the cult, the whole purpose of the cult and what they were doing. But what really made me mad was that by the time Resident Evil 5 came out, they started copying things from the movie. Like, they had the bot flies, the nurses, Pyramid Head, and the hugger dudes that sit there and spit acid out and crawl on the ground. That was it. They got rid of all the regular cool... Really, they stopped being inventive.
Right.
Resident Evil 4 had the really crazy-ass baby faces on the ostrich bodies.
Resident Evil 4?
They have not had anything that cool since...
Silent Hill.
Since Silent Hill 4,
that's
the
about
room.
To say.
They have not had anything as cool as that since the original 4 games. Because they just pulled in basically movie-oriented stuff and recycled a few things here and there from the... Like the guys with the big club hands. They brought them in, I think, once in Silent Hill 5. I'm just thinking of movies that they fucked.
I know, right? You're sitting here going...
So, but there's people I meet who love Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2... I'm just like, the movies, and I'm like, did you ever play the games? Like, those are games? And you just want to smack the shit out of them. They're like, oh, I love the music in that. I was like, yeah, it was really good when it came out 10 years ago for the games.
Yeah, the soundtrack. The original soundtrack. Yeah.
And then they fucked that all up even worse with Silent Hill Homecoming when they had Korn. Yeah, no, it was like a Downpour. Silent Hill Downpour, they had Korn doing the fucking title track because Akira Yamaoka got to the point where he said, fuck this series, and left. He was one of the executive producers and sound guys, and he said, when that guy who worked on Super Contra tells you you're fucking up and decides to pull out, you should really reevaluate your fucking decisions.
Yeah, don't put Korn on the soundtrack.
Yeah, don't put fucking Korn on the soundtrack. That was a bad fucking idea because Downpour was horrible.
You definitely go with though. Band of similar taste. At least go with Deftones.
Go with Creed. If you really want to put a nail in your coffin, just put Creed. Put Creed. Like, that's like putting Twisted Metal out with an all Creed soundtrack. You're purposely driving your car off the track to kill yourself so that the music will stop. And the game over screen will come up. So, that game, when you purchase it, it should come with an apology. That's my opinion. A written apology. That's my opinion on any Silent Hill game nowadays, and including the one with Korn on the soundtrack. It should come with a written apology by the producers of the game and Korn.
Even Jonathan Davis doesn't approve.
Yeah, Jonathan Davis. They hired an assassin to put him in a coma long enough for the other band members to sign the contract. He didn't want to do it. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
They fucked that up so bad.
And with that, I will end my week with WTF.
WTF.
Wax the floor? What the fuck does that mean?
I can't believe it took him a third of the movie to figure finally, that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what? Yeah. He goes, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And it's like, WTF, Gary. Yeah, I like Martin Freeman. He's very funny. So.
Cut.
Hitchhiker's Guide was great with him.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's all you really did. Yeah. Justin, what have you been doing?
Spanking it?
No.
Seven Days to Die.
Well, that. And now that it's not cut and recut and cut and recut, I can actually talk about it a little bit.
What's that?
What?
7 Days to Die.
So actually, did you listen to last week's episode?
I listened to parts of it.
I did a masterful job where you can't even tell you guys were having technical difficulties unless you brought it up.
That's the best part. No, I just... Yeah, to apologize to the fans, I mean, it was a really stressful episode for us.
Oh, God.
Episode.
Espers?
I thought Justin was about to have an aneurysm. He was getting so fucked.
I'm actually kind of glad I stayed the fuck home because I don't think he could have handled that.
It was driver issues on the laptop. The USB was cutting out. I wasn't here last week, but I was here in the apartment. I was in my room working, and I kept hearing you guys talk and then stop and talk and then stop.
And what we had to do is we'd go back like 10 seconds. What were we talking about? All right, so let's pick up with this.
Oh, shit.
And you know how awkward that is to continue a flow of conversation where you got to stop about every 3 or 4 minutes?
Well, I edited it to where you can't even tell.
How many edits was that?
It was only like 5.
Was it only like 5?
Yeah.
It felt like a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a 2-hour episode and we were here for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Jeez. There might have been more than 5. I can't recall.
That's why it took you so long.
Yeah, it was a rough episode. And like I really wanted to talk about 7 Days to Die. At a certain point, I was like, fuck it. It was good.
I know you left off with the whole thing of them destroying the stairs. That was where you left off. Because I remember because I had to replay that line.
Over and over
to try and match it with the next dude, with the next try to where it didn't sound like you cut off.
Justin did that 3 times because the second time we did it cut out like 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
And no, he deleted the track.
Yeah, there were a bunch of like just quick
it was
30
bad.
Second tracks and it's just the USBs that said the drivers were going out on the computer and we took
I just went through Windows Recovery and completely reinstalled Windows 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everything's
that was fun.
Yeah. Everything seems to be working fine right now. So.
Right, hopefully.
But
it's not breaking right now.
No,
I'll be able to tell you for certain when I go to copy the tracks over into my USB, and if it takes that really long time to copy like it has been, then there's still a possibility that something's wrong.
I wonder if there was power management settings for USB to turn off at a certain point. Mm-hmm.
No, not normally on most laptops, no.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. Yeah,
for like charging or something like that. You know?
No, I mean, you can do that if you go in and... No, I don't think there's any preset that allows
you. Yeah, I think you'd have to go to BIOS or something.
You'd have to go in and actually set up your own little thing to cut off that.
Some kind of weird power profile.
Yeah, you'd have to. The power profile default that's built into Windows won't allow that. I don't think you'd actually have to download a third party app or make your own that would control the USB controller.
Yeah.
So USB controllers aside.
Asperger's.
Yeah.
Sorry. Suck that shit. Never seen a man felch a Red Bull before.
I did your nose.
It's a Fester felch. Usually, in the TV show, you just used to put a light bulb in your mouth. Now it seems like you're sucking Red Bull out of an anus with a straw. I can smell that from here, by the way. I can smell that Red Bull.
That Red Bull did not taste the same coming back up. That was bad.
Wow.
I got him to say wow.
No, I that wasn't even a serious wow. That was my kind of bored wow. It was wow.
Fuck you.
No, I pretty much had my limit of amazing things today. One of my one of my devs banged one of my other one of the other employees' best friends over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
That was very interesting this morning, because she just comes in and looks and goes like, no. No,
no,
no, and she just runs out going, no, no, and all that. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And he just was like, I banged her best friend this week. I was like, oh, I was like, okay, any conversation that involves this, have it outside of my office. And they wouldn't listen. They started doing it in there in my office. I just kept yelling, get the fuck out. I don't want to hear about this. He's like, she had a really nice clean butthole. I'm like, get the fuck out. It's like, she's a webcam model. I'm like, I don't fucking care. He's like, you fucked a whore. Get the fuck out. So, which actually wasn't too far off from the truth. So yeah, I've heard everything today.
Okay.
So nothing's gonna amaze me, including your felching techniques.
So, back to 7 days to die.
Yes, please.
Before we talk more about butthole pleasures,
7 days to fester.
Yeah, that game's pretty damn awesome for an alpha.
It's good.
And I'm not even going to say qualify it with just saying it's just an alpha. Like, we started off with Alpha 5 last week, and one of the friends of the show, Travis, who'd been listening to me talk about it, was like, hey, what do you think about this game? He's like, well, I already got like 15 hours in it, and I got Matt playing it, and I got Peters playing it. He thought about it for about 10 minutes, and then he texts me back, and he's like, I'm getting it. He bought it for him and his buddy, and about five more minutes passed, he's like, I just set up a server. And I was like, where'd you set up the server? And he's like, I'm not going to say what school system he works for, but it's a rather large school system in the southern United States, in a Walking Dead country.
Oh, okay.
And so they have a really good connection. Like, my latency now that he's got it set up on one of, like, the super servers is, I have, like, 30 ping, 40 ping.
Nice.
Maybe get up to 70 ping. Even Peters in Alaska is getting like 150 ping.
Wow.
And then when he's on it, he gets like 10 ping. Like, there's just like no latency at all. And so anyways, we start on Alpha 5. We play through it. It's pretty fun. Essentially, the game is a sandbox survival game. They got different modes. They got a deathmatch mode nobody gives a shit about. And they got, that's 7 days to die. And it's basically Minecraft meets Walking Dead. I think that's the best comparison I can come up with.
Are you punching blocks out of the ground? Is that what it is?
You can start off. You kind of have to start off that way.
You're punching blocks out of the ground.
Well, so you ever played Minecraft?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of voxel-based like that is, where you got to craft stuff. So, like, it's not totally like Minecraft. Like, Minecraft is about setting up a base and setting up sustainability, you know. This is about setting up sustainability through scavenging and then eventually creating a environment where you can live long-term. Problem is every night the zombies attack, and it's not like Minecraft where you get a couple of creepers and they blow up your base. It's like
you get swarmed. Whoa!
You get swarmed hardcore, and the first night it's not so bad. Like, they might break down a wall, they might break a couple of windows and get in to wherever you're staying. By night 15, they're coming in waves of 32, and they are fucking shit up. Like, if you don't have defenses down, like, they will collapse your fucking building. It is intense, and it gets really loud and really crazy. And yeah, the graphics aren't amazing. I think this is more about the gameplay than it is the graphics.
Well, I mean,
it's graphics don't make the game, and I think these guys have that to their. Anyways, they have that going.
I think they can do a lot more because they're not having to carry a heavy graphic load. Anyway,
it's a small team of guys called the Fun Pimps Entertainment.
Do they have pimp cups?
They have a pimp logo.
I'm pretty sure they have pimp cups in the office.
They better have pimp cups.
Probably from Spencer's. So that says pimping.
Yep. Big pimping.
But like, when you look at the credits, like, it's a dev team of like 25 people. It started on Kickstarter with a goal of $100,000. Their stretch goal was $500,000. They made like a little over $500,000 on their Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And then released the alpha to the public in December. And they have been very faithful with their updates. It's like, I've been waiting on the beta for Wasteland 2, which I'm highly excited about, but like, their update process is a lot more meticulous. 7 Days to Die will release something that's a little bit buggy and broken, but they'll release it like every week. Like, it's since this update on Tuesday, we got 6.1 through 6.3. Now, granted, that means that we've lost some stuff on our progress and had to restart, but they've added new features every time we've jumped back in. And so, like, eventually the game is essentially going to have, like, a skill system, like an RPG system. They've stated in their mission statement, hey, we want to make an open-world RPG tower defense survival game. kind of like what me and Trent talked about a long time ago with having multiplayer. And it's way more fun.
Basically, like it's Far Cry 2 with 20 square kilometers of just open countryside and
zombie like, right, hordes. So. Right, and like so, like the zombies are really slow in the day. They're like half speed for you.
Yeah.
They can still kill you, but they're not as strong. At night, they're way more powerful, and they run double speed. So, and they also home in on wherever you're at. So, long story short, you spend the first part of the day scavenging supplies, and on your first day, it's always rough. Like, there's freestanding structures. Like, it's going to be randomly generated eventually, but right now, they got a map set up. And so, there's freestanding structures. You go in and you scavenge the area, then go up and hide in the attic or something like that at night, and then craft a few items for going out during the day. And then by the next day, you're going to fortify a house, essentially. So the first night, you'll put down a couple of stone or wood blocks and cover up the hole into the attic and shoot any zombies that make it through or patch the hole back up. By day night two, instead of there being just like 15 zombies that attack, there'll be like 30 that'll attack. And so you better have boarded up the windows, put down some spike traps, and be ready to like fucking survive. And you got to eat, you got to drink, you have stamina, you have health, they have different affected. They have these zombie dogs that are fucking fast no matter what time of day it is. And they'll always... It's weird how they get attack. Like, so, like, I had a base set up at a sawmill that me and Travis had set up. And I had the whole area surrounded with, like 600 spikes. Like, I just had a spike field in front of the whole thing. And they'll run over the spikes and they damage them, but they'll also die before they get to the house. Well, so, a whole horde found the area where they had the least spikes. They collapsed all the spikes. And then they started digging under the house. They started, like, taking out the blocks underneath the house so that they could take down the supports to take down the house. Wow. Which I was like, oh, this is fucked up. And, like, I have a porch area, and I didn't put any spikes into the porch and just put it up in front because I didn't figure they'd crawl into the porch. They would start, they'd take out the spikes, and after that horde had died taking out the spikes, the next horde would push through and dig through the snow and then tunnel under the porch and into the house, which was fucking crazy. So I started to land spikes under the porch and eventually destroyed the porch. But, yeah, so everything has some structural integrity. So, like, if they destroyed a side of the house, the weight of whatever it was supporting would also collapse underneath it, and the side of my house would fall down. There's also climbing zombies. I call them spider zombies. They run on all fours, and then they'll climb up structures. They just can't climb over a lip. So if you'll set a lip, that'll kind of keep them at bay, but they can also destroy blocks while they're climbing. So they'll climb up and start destroying a block and then eventually get over. So you can't just have, like, sit on top of a roof. By like day 15, that's a stupid ass idea because they'll climb up in hordes and destroy blocks and get on top of your roof. But they try to locate you wherever you're at. Like, they seem to know about where you're at. So, like, if I'm banging around and crafting, like, they'll go for that part of the house or they'll be going for the stairs or whatever.
Huh.
So, it's really interesting. Like they're improving pathing and things like that right now and improving what zombies attack to make it more difficult. Because right now, on like average difficulty, it's really hard by yourself, but with a couple of people, it's fairly manageable to the point where, like, I had me, Jake, Travis, and Peters. Everybody had a different job. One guy was going to the next town to scavenge for food and water. I was setting up spike traps and digging a trench. Travis was mining because he wanted to get a mine to get ore to build more weapons and stuff like that. And then Jake was standing guard to kill zombies while I was digging the trench. So, like, we had this whole, like, system organized where, like, every day we'd do that for... the day cycle was 30 minutes, so it was 15 minutes we'd do all that, and then the next 15 minutes was spent surviving. So it's like that whole, like, tower defense aspect is really fucking cool. But yeah, it's buggy as hell. Like, zombies will trip out and fuck up and get glitched in windows and shit like that, and whatever. But, like, the latest update, they added forging, and forging means I gotta go build a forge and melt my metal and then melt, like, get craft ammo and guns, and so I'm out finding scrap brass from doorknobs and light fixtures and things like that, melting that down to the brass casings. And then I got to find a brass casing to make a mold for it, make the mold that I'm making, like, infinite case. Well, not infinite, but, you know, I can craft my own casings. And now I'm making, like, 9mm, 7.62, 10mm ammo. Like, it's pretty fucking cool, like, how that all works out. But, yeah, the game is still fairly buggy. It's just they got different biomes, different, like, they got these tough-as-shit snow zombies now, and... Like, the latest update, the next one they're doing, they're going to flatten out the terrain so it doesn't look so voxel-based. So, like, they're going to do that, and I guess sometime soon they're going to do the skill system. So they're still improving, like, the pathing and their stealth stuff and things like that.
But yeah.
Everything has durability, you know. I don't know. Like, you just have to watch some gameplay videos. Like, some people are really hating on it. Oh, it's another zombie survival game, another zombie game. It's not really another zombie game. I mean, you got games like Left 4 Dead that does what it does and does it good. The AI for that's really intelligent. If they could get the AI as intelligent as it is on Left 4 Dead and then build up that, that would be really fucking good. But I'm saying, I got 42 hours in 2 weeks in this game, and it's just a fucking alpha. I've been playing Rust, and I think there's some cool concepts in Rust, but man, Rust does not have the fun factor like this does. Rust feels like a grief fest right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like after they figure out some balancing and give you more to do in Rust, it'll be more fun. But, like, for the time being, like, I'm just not having any fun. Like, it takes so goddamn long in Rust to do anything.
Oh, but don't run.
don't run.
Like, I think there's some good ideas with Rust, but, like, trust, Trent, you know, like, building a structure takes a lot of wood.
I mean, you gotta go out and harvest a lot of wood to build.
And like
a lot of basic stuff, and it
like going to, like, I know you're supposed to get like a radiation suit or something later on, but like going into the zombie areas of the radiation, like it's what you literally got like 4 minutes in that area, and you got to leave, to get unradiated or not die, you know.
Yeah, it can be a big pain in the ass.
On top of having people want to break down your door and steal your shit when you're asleep.
To be honest with you, DayZ is more entertaining. And that's a grief fucking fest.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so, but there's not really, I mean, yeah, I suppose you could have people grief you if they broke into your server, but but they would just die over and over and over again. I mean, I suppose they could just go and break blocks of zombies, and but they'd have to know your server password, so.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's really feels based on co-op, and when you're playing that co-op, it is fucking crack, man. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just playing 7 Days to Die like fucking crazy.
Yeah. Not anything but else you've been playing, or
played a little Rust. The same reasons I just stated. I'm not playing a little bit of Rust. Do like the concept art though.
Yeah.
Concept art's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Been playing a lot of Starbound. Me and John from the Carousel wanted to do something different in Warframe the other night. I was like, hey, what about Starbound? He's like, I could play some Starbound. So me and him jumped into that. It's a lot like Terraria in space. I say a lot, it's just got way more tech trees. I've gotten to the point where I'm trying to find a way to build a breathing mask so that I can go on this asteroid. Essentially, those first quests, and they're going to add a whole quest system to it.
Yeah.
Those first quests are like, if you've played Minecraft on Xbox, they have a series of quests, quote-unquote, or objectives to get you started. That's essentially what that's for, is to kind of get you started. But they don't have like a lot of bosses in the game yet still, so there's not a lot of anything except for the penguin and the spaceship thing. But like I found... I started figuring out and figured out that I needed to go to other worlds and explore. And basically, the worlds wrap around in a big circle. Like, you run from side to side, and about 10 minutes you get to the other side of the world. But there's a shitload of worlds. So it randomly generates different planets. So each one has its own bio, and it kind of gives you a rating of what it is. Like, this is hard, this is easy, this is medium, you know, whatever. And then you go there to mine resources to upgrade your shit. But I figured it's the biggest difference with that between that and Terraria is... You can build a home base on a planet, and you can set a home, set that for home, so you'll always know where that's at. But really, you just want to set up everything on your ship and make that your crafting base. So you can teleport up to your ship, craft for a minute, stay alive, then go back down to the planet and mine or look for resources to kill monsters or, you know, kill bandits like I was doing last night with my big axe, which was not very, very sci-fi. But I found...
It was a space axe, though.
It was a space axe, and I had jet boots.
Yeah, so that's jet boots. It's like sci-fi, you know, Jason Voorhees at that point.
Fucking space ninjas have axes, dude. Run with it.
Yeah. Well, Warframe, but...
Did it have a curved handle on it, like a space axe would?
I don't know where you're going with a curved handle.
Space axes are not shaped straight, like a normal. They're shaped curved.
Oh,
like
that.
Yeah.
And the blade.
Like that.
Yeah, it's...
The hand motions really give you an idea of how curved it is. Yeah, it's amazing.
Over the shoulder.
Not...
It doesn't
like
go all the way up to your
mouth. From a toothpaste thing. So. Colgate nipples.
But yeah, there's some big differences between that, between Starbound and Terraria. I think Terraria is very much limited to the biomes that are in the area, and the area is fairly big. You can mine down a lot, but I found myself, instead of mining down, just surface mining and then going to the next planet to see if I can find more colonies or find a base. Like, I remember when I first started playing it, I found, like, a whole base set up, like, You ever play like Return of the Jedi on Super Nintendo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know how those levels were set up? Uh-huh. I found a whole base that was set up kind of like that with these dudes that kind of look like Jawas, and I was like, hey, this is kind of taking me back. It's kind of taking me back. I hope nobody has a laser pistol. So for right now, you know, I have the big space axe, or I have like a sword and a shield. Shield can block space bullets, but...
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
You know, that helps. But, you know, I'm just a samurai-looking dude with a lantern on his back and jet boots and a sword and shield. So it's very disjointed at the moment. But, I mean, it's been fun. It's just, it's still also an alpha. Like, they're missing a lot of stuff. It just kind of gave me a good idea of what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do another wipe. But, I mean, it's for an alpha, for what it is, right now it's basically Terraria in space. When they add the quests in and they add more into the tech tree, I think that'll make it a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
More than just, oh, I can travel to a new
weren't they supposed to add in the intergalactic raiders that would actually come through to the planet destroyers? They were going to come through. They were talking about
I must have missed that.
They were talking I remember reading something about how they were supposed to make it to where you have your home world that you set up, but there's going to be randomly generated persons that will come in to destroy your home world. You have to have defenses set up on your ship or
something.
That'd
be cool as shit.
To actually protect your planet, to keep it from being blown. Because if they destroy that planet, it's gone. And then you have to go to another one to set up as your home base. So they can take out your entire system if you don't actually prep and defend it and board them off.
That'd be an interesting change.
That was one thing they were talking about bringing. Because my developer Robert's been playing the shit out of it, and that's one of the one things he's constantly playing. That's every time they update, like they've wiped a few times where they've wiped everything, and he was
complaining.
Well,
they're not supposed to be wiping any characters going forward now.
Yeah, but he was talking about some of the stuff they were going to bring in that he was looking forward to, because he actually plays that on launch on his laptop when he sits there. He plays Starbound. So, yeah.
I think it's a fairly decent game. I mean, for alphas, like out of all the alphas that are out right now, the only two that I'm interested in that I feel like are playable and it's still fun, granted I haven't played a lot, like I don't feel Rust is quite ready.
No.
I definitely feel 7 Days to Die is, if you don't mind, you know, if you set it up for beta, like, and even though you're getting alpha, like every time they do an update, they'll wipe whatever's on your server and redo it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that part kind of sucks because you might have this, like, super base built up, but they're always giving you something new to play with when they do the updates. So, like, it's been several things at a time they're giving you. I feel like the updates are meaningful enough and substantial enough that that's a big deal.
Hmm.
And makes it extremely fun. Again, like I said, even the night Travis was asking me, he's like, hey, 7 Days to Die is like podcast. He's like, oh, you probably should do that.
Hmm.
So... I'm having a decent amount of fun. It's a little bit high. I have $34.99 to get started in. Get it with a friend, then you're only spending $25. If you want some information on the server, our server is set up, I think. Travis, correct me at some point, but I think we've got a 64-player server. So, and the computer he's got it set on can definitely handle it.
Yeah.
So, you know, children don't need to utilize those resources for education.
Right?
Nah, fuck their education. Well,
he's the admin. Nobody
they're in Georgia.
Used to play WoW with a freaking school admin, so.
Well, I know some of the people in that administration where I work actually play shit a little WoW.
Yeah,
Eden and Chris, and
they'd end up like in the middle of a fucking raid, saying, "Hold on a second, I gotta go do something real quick." Come back 5 minutes later, yeah, something about email, something this that, and he'd be like, "Fuck, let's get this shit on going here."
So the only other thing that happened is Super Bowl. And yeah, I'm not that much of a sports fan. So I turned it on for a second. I was like, well, okay. And I was supposed to be working, but I got snowed in. So I was home, but not watching the Super Bowl, playing Starbound.
That's what you ended up playing after we stopped playing Warframe?
Yeah, played Starbound.
Yeah.
I'll play more Warframe later.
Okay.
Dota went good.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that either. I didn't.
Me, one of the people, the guy that started playing with us last week, he actually offered to teach a new player. So me and him taught a new player how to play Dota.
Sweet.
So don't be scared. I mean, I know I'm an asshole on the show and Rusty's a little bit of an asshole. You know, we're not that much of an asshole when we're playing with us.
No.
Like, I literally spent 3 hours teaching a guy how to play Dota. So, but we had a lot of fun and cracked a lot of jokes. It was great.
Yeah, I ended up having to work late that night. And
one of us, we'll make sure one of us is always there.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll play Dota like every fucking week. I don't care.
No, once a week's a good portion, I think. Like, that's that would keep me interested, just playing once a week and be like, hey, it's done
yeah.
today.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole reason why I said, you know, I'll do it. If I can set aside one day, play this game, get people interested in, you know, in a game that's fairly popular. You know, I really need to actually kind of step back from Warframe, but...
It's actually kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, except for the fucking daily bonus thing. That fucker reset on me.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so now I have to work up to the 7-day daily bonus shit again. But yeah, you know.
Anyways, I'm done, Trent. I'm sorry. Okay. I rambled for a bit.
No, I was digging through trying to find a game that I had picked up on Steam because I could not remember the name of it.
I picked up Splinter Cell, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, yeah, they have that on sale.
I picked up Chaos Theory and Conviction and...
Did you pick up Blacklist?
And Blacklist.
You'll like it. It's really
good. Is it better than Chaos Theory?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a whole new...
It's what Conviction should have been.
Yeah, it's a whole new... Well, Conviction is really short, to be honest with you. It's like a 5-6 hour game. It's nothing major.
Well, it was good at $5, though.
So. Yeah, no, it's good at $5, and I think you can get the... I think the only DLC they have for it was a multi-co-op. Was a co-op DLC?
I think so.
Because that was the one that brought in co-op gameplay. But either way, Blacklist is a whole different experience with the gameplay. It's not so much, I mean, you're sneaking around a lot, but most of the sneaking around missions turn into just straight up shoot fests at some point. Just get out at all costs. Yeah. So, not too big of a difference. But anyways, there was some game I picked up on Steam that was a free to play. I'm trying to remember the damn name of it because I didn't get a chance to play yet. It looked like Borderlands.
Loadout.
Was it Loadout? That was it. Yeah, it was Borderlands meets Team Fortress.
One of the guys that I was playing Warframe with has actually been playing a lot of Loadout.
Yeah, I picked it up because it's free to play, and I was like, all right, I'm going to check this out and see if it's worth a damn, and I still haven't gotten a chance to play it yet because I was wrapped up and doing other stuff this weekend. But, it looked interesting. I think there was, like, supposed to be billions of gun combinations because you kind of build your own guns and see
what you can do with it. Did you figure out what the free-to-play model was on it, or what you bought?
I know that I didn't buy anything. I know there was a starter pack that gives you some stuff. I don't know what they're really doing with it. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to jump into it, but it looked fun for those who like Team Fortress and like the ability to craft your own weapons and stuff.
It looked like a kind of like a Quake model on FPS, like lots of circle strafe.
Yeah, with a lot of the art style is very Borderlands, though. The character design is very Borderlands too. That kind of just, oh, they got that giant big titty chick who's one of the characters you can play. By the way, big old broad who kind of reminds you of Ellie from Borderlands 2, Scooter's sister.
Yeah,
yeah. Scooter. So, by the way,
he probably doesn't have a crush on.
Yeah, he doesn't have a crush on, which forced her to go and live in the fucking wasteland. By the way, it looks pretty fun. I'll probably end up playing that this weekend at some point. I've actually haven't been playing too much of anything other than The Last of Us. I went through The Last of Us on hardcore mode, survivor mode, I mean, and then I found survivor plus mode. So after I beat it on survivor
you believe
mode,
in punishment.
Yeah, so after I beat on hey, I'm already at the University of Colorado on survivor plus mode. So, and what's funny is that on the survivor plus mode, I've actually gathered more resources than I did on survivor mode. I've actually done pretty well with having in survivor mode. I had a health kit on me and full health. And in this one, I've actually gotten to a point where I have more health kits on me. I have like 2 or 3 at a time, have extra shivs. And I don't know if survivor plus is just gives you a little bit more. I know they actually hooked me up a few times. Like you're asking me when I told you I was playing it last week, you asked me about the room in the sewers.
Yeah.
Now, when you play on survivor mode, there's 2 clickers that actually venture over to the very opening of that part before you even move forward. They venture over there, and they're wandering around. You have to take care of them, or else they're gonna find you. And in survivor plus mode, they're not there. They're way off where they're in the level, so they don't even come near you. And I just went in there, and I actually booked it. I snuck through half the level, and then I booked it the rest of the way after I threw something to distract them. And of course, the clickers followed me, and I was able to take them out fairly easy. And I just held out for a minute and waited to see if anything else was going to come up. And then I kicked the boy up there so that he could drop the ladder down, and I just chilled for a minute, went and scavenged anything from things I had killed, and got out there. One thing they do, though, is hardly anybody drops anything when you kill them. Like bandits, the hunters and stuff, when you kill them, you're lucky if you get some ammo out of them. It really sucks. So you're constantly...
It seems like it's more stealth-based at that point.
It seems very... It's very stealth-based, but sometimes there's just points where they shove you into a situation where there is no stealthing around. Like whenever you have the sniper pinning you down, and you have to have Sam and Ellie and that kid distract him while you're sneaking around, but he has a whole army of guys out there. There's like five guys, and that's not counting the ones that are already in houses waiting for you, so it's really hard to sneak around. What I was able to do, though, was I was able to take those guys out stealth-wise by leading all of them into a house. And they came in one by one, just sit there and break their fucking necks and leave them in the doorway. Just a pile of bodies stacking up. I just keep grabbing the guy and knocking him out. And then I actually snuck into the house while the other group of guys were coming out. And that allowed me to go upstairs. And once you get in the house, the sniper stops shooting. He's waiting for you to come upstairs. And any of the guys that are left outside just disappear at that point. So that was handy, at least. I think also playing it on Survivor mode before I went to Survivor Plus helped me with remembering the controls and getting really good at them again. So that actually does help out with a lot of quick maneuvering and quickly, if you get spotted, quick running and hiding, finding, like, you know, really knowing how far I have to go before I lose them. So it lets you get used to it again. But I really love that game. After playing it again.
It's a good game.
Yeah, after jumping back into it and actually going through it again. Because, I mean, I already...
If you go back, would you make that Game of the Year?
No, I mean, I can't remember what I had as Game of the Year. What was Game of the Year?
Did we say Bioshock?
I think it was Bioshock.
And Last of Us was up there on my list.
It was
the only reason why I didn't...
Two, I think. Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I didn't make it is because...
I think not everybody here played it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be honest, had everybody at this table played it, it easily would have been Game of the Year. It was on my list, but Bioshock Infinite was played by more of us, so it was something that all four of us could vote on. And I'm fine with that one being Game of the Year because... Sorry, with Bioshock Infinite being Game of the Year because it was a very well-crafted story and a pretty solid game experience. So... But Last of Us,
it was good. I'm not going to trash on it. It was really good.
I mean, I have the season pass, and I still haven't jumped into the new one, like the Lost at Sea or whatever it was called.
I'm waiting for with Bioshock. I want to get those. I want both DLC packs out because I was listening to a couple of other podcasts saying it was fairly short, like around 4 hours.
Yeah, so I want both Lost at Sea and the other one.
Yeah, like if I'm going to jump back into that game, I'm going to want to indulge myself a little bit. 4 hours for somebody like me who plays 4 hours
at a time.
Yeah. Like that would just it would feel like a bite-sized sandwich. You know.
Well,
what I mean?
That's kind of like the Dead Space DLCs are always a little short for my liking because they. The only one that I actually cared for was the Awakening one for Dead Space 3 because it actually continued the story as opposed to being a splinter story that didn't even have Isaac Clarke in it. So it might have only been like 3-4 hours of game, maybe even not even that, but it actually did continue the story to lead up to a Dead Space 4, and so that way you know where they're going to go with it.
With episodes like that, though, it's like you got The Walking Dead, and the latest one's been pretty good. I don't think it's deserving some of the dogging it's get. People are giving it right now. But I think that like that kind of game, because of how intense it is, like it's hard to remember... Like, yeah, it'll say, last time on The Walking Dead, and it'll go through it. Like, it's to recapture that emotion you had playing it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that if it's in a span of 3 months at a time. When I played that, remember, like, it was like last summer or whatever, of last year?
Yeah.
Maybe, no, I mean 2012. Uh-huh. Like, I played through all of The Walking Dead all at once instead of playing it episodically. And that was a fan-fucking-tastic experience.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it was about 2 days worth of gaming. And it was really, really intense.
Yeah, I prefer like playing all of them all at once.
Yeah, well, it's like I got Wolf Among Us. Thankfully enough, I'm just going to give a shout out. I think it was Nymph that gave me Wolf Among Us on PC.
I think he gave me that too, and I still have not had a chance to.
Oh, you got it. It's good.
I know. I keep meaning to. It's just it's one of those things where the girl doesn't mind me playing The Last of Us around her because she actually started playing it, but she really couldn't get into it because she's a Borderlands fan. Borderlands, and she's playing Terraria right now.
What's that have to do with Wolf Among Us?
Well, it's just a very story based where she can watch it. With that one, I'm on PC and the monitor's behind me, so she can't really see what I'm doing. But with The Last of Us, she can actually just kick back and watch what's going on. So I have to play something that's actually entertaining to her.
Well, I'll just play when she's not here. It's not real long.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, she's here quite a bit.
I got the 12.
Nice.
That's fucking amazing.
That's so gay.
Well, I mean, so like what I've been doing, and I actually played, girlfriend's a bit of a comic nerd, and she was watching me play that. She was noticing how the story is different than the original comic.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that the relationships between the characters and the way that story plays out is actually quite different than the comic, but it's not a nice touch because you're not going to expect what choices are going to affect what. Like the characters and the way their interactions themselves are fairly similar, but the way that they do Bigby Wolf, she felt like was stronger than what it was in the comics. So it was really interesting, and I played it on Xbox. I played it last October, and I was like, oh, damn, this is pretty damn good. And now the next one releases in, like, a few days. So I'm kind of teetering between playing all six of those, you know, 6 hours of that together just to see what happens. But I want to start from the beginning because, you know, I don't want to start from that same thing like I was doing with The Walking Dead. I can't play it episodically. I gotta play it in chunks. Yeah. Like big chunks. But
Super chunks.
Well, I mean, at least if I do it this way, I'll be able to play like half of it and then play the other half like at the end of the year. That's so hard. I wish it was all at once.
Right. No, I waited to play the first season of The Walking Dead until I could get all of it all at once.
Yeah.
And then I just treated it like I ended up playing each episode twice. Once for myself and once with...
Once for my wife.
Yeah, with his wife. So, it was very much like watching the show on DVR. Because we would end up doing one episode a day throughout a week.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. I need to play Wolf Among Us, though.
I had as much fun with it in a different way than I did with Walking Dead. It's basically the same style of game. Like,
yeah.
To the letter. But it's just done really well.
It's like with The Walking Dead, I picked it up when episode one was out, but none of the others, and which sucked because they had that set release schedule where they're going to release one every...
Yeah, and it didn't work that way.
So it took them a bit longer, so I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like, oh, this is the week the next episode's going to come out, yeah. And then it's another month that I have to wait. And then they finally got their groove, and they were able to kind of do them when they said they would. So it kind of pissed me off here and there. I do like the idea of waiting until the whole thing's out, because when you do that, any bugs... Because every episode on The Walking Dead had a little bug here and there that they ironed out within the first week. So if you wait till it's all out, all the bugs are ironed out when you play it, so you don't run into an issue where the game freezes or something fucks up.
It's like a wonder wait to talk about, like, in any kind of detail without spoiling the story, like, that game before it was all the way out. It's kind of the same thing. Like, I didn't feel like we should have covered much Walking Dead as it was coming out other than saying, hey, it's not... excuse me, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But we're not going to have that full effect of the story till it's all out.
Yeah.
And like, it's not even worth reviewing at that point.
Yeah.
Now. Right.
Arcade Ninja Buy, I picked it up for you for Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to pick it up. And I'll eventually do it. I'm probably going to wait until after March and then grab it then.
So. Well, I guess they got a separate team for the Borderlands one, a separate team for Game of Thrones.
Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, like all four of these games they got coming out right now, they have separate teams for, which means at least they're not spreading themselves as thin as they were trying to.
Yeah. Which I'm excited for the Borderlands one. That one looks like it's going to be pretty interesting.
Like, I think Telltale finally found their niche.
Yeah.
Like, they do this style of game really well. I just wonder if at some point it's going to peter out. But at the same point, it's like, if we remember Choose Your Own Adventure, it's the same thing.
Well, it's Choose Your Own Adventure, but the cool thing is these are other people's IPs.
Yeah.
That they're just basically saying, hey, we want to expand this universe, but we don't want to devote an entire version of our game to it. We can use you to kind of expand that universe and have this very cool Choose Your Own Adventure style to it. And, you know, Gearbox saw a benefit to that and a value. Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Back to the Future, which was one of the other really good ones they did.
I never felt the writing for Borderlands, though, was strong enough to support this style of game. That's the only thing I'm scared about.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, everybody likes Claptrap, you know what I mean? But like, I don't feel like the writing in that game is where it shines. The writing's in the humor, the physical comedy, and the actual comedy, you know? But it's not like in the actual setup of the story.
But also, at the same time, being that it was a four-player co-op game, it was really hard to get any story across
even
in that.
Even when you're playing it in single-player.
I know. But even then, it still treats it like there's four players, is the thing, even when you're playing single-player. Because technically, it's kind of treating it like there is. But with this, they're able to actually go back and you're going to be playing somebody. Like, you could be playing what's his name? The gun shop owner. I forgot his name.
Marcus.
But yeah, you get into playing Marcus in it. I mean, you could end up playing somebody completely different. You could actually be playing Handsome Jack, as they actually show Jack in the trailer. Of course, he's digital binary, so it could be after his death. I mean, we don't even know.
It's just one of those things where I feel like, obviously, the Game of Thrones series has a really strong book, you know, series that came out for it. Yeah. And then you got, you know, the HBO series, and you got The Wolf Among Us. Just, they got an established, you know, writers and everything else that have been doing that for a long time, that have been surviving on the success of written works, where Borderlands is just a game. It's the only one that's the odd man out.
And that's why I'm going to say I'm just going to wait to see, actually, because it really depends on how they approach it and what they're doing. And in the trailer, they already showed two established characters, which was Handsome Jack and Marcus. Then there's these other two people who are sort of talking to Marcus. I don't know who the fuck they are, but either way.
I mean, it could go other ways, too. I mean, it could be funny as shit.
Yeah.
Because their humor is good.
Yeah.
But that story's got to be somewhat engaging.
See, I kind of see it like Rage, what Rage did with its multiplayer, what they were trying to do with the whole Tales from the Wasteland, where the multiplayer was you on a co-op mission playing through these old stories explaining parts of the main story, which that didn't really matter because it was just, all it was just a simple mission.
We tried playing
it. It was boring as shit.
Yeah.
And it's because even Rage really didn't have that much of a story to it. And this is going to be a different take on Borderlands, so, and it really comes down to who's writing it.
Yep.
What part of the source material are they going with? Pre-Vault Hunters, post-Vault Hunters, after the vault's been open, or is it going to coincide with Borderlands 2 or Borderlands 1? I mean, where is it going to take place? Is it going to be, I mean, the store they show Marcus in looks like the one on Pandorum. Pandorum. It's his shop in the city. So, but what part of the timeline is it going to be in? Floating city or not floating city? Probably no idea.
Right.
So we have to see what's going to happen with it. I don't know. I have faith that Telltale will do something good with it. If anything, it's going to be funny at least.
Right. Well, because
it's fucking Borderlands. So.
We hope. I agree with you guys with the fact that it's not, you know, there isn't enough information to go with it, and there wasn't really a whole lot of information in the games, but there was so much potential with certain characters. You know, the freaking crazy ass doctor. You know,
Dr. Zed.
I mean, Dr. Ned.
Dr. Zed, Dr. Ned. Yeah.
You know, and all of that shit. That
there was good characters. Yes. It's just.
Just not enough.
There was no backstory, really. I mean, the most you know about Scooter is he tried to fuck his fucking sister, and that was about her cousin.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like, Scooter's biography is literally like, what, like two paragraphs?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Fucks a chick. Yeah, so he tries to fuck a family member. He's in love with the family. Every chick he's in love with, pretty much, whether they commit suicide or fucking disappears. Yeah, that's about it. So, and he puts tacos in the glove boxes for people who run his cars. So that's about it. So.
Exactly my point.
Yeah. So, I mean, who says it's even going to revolve around him or involve him? I mean, there's a lot more to do than that. But either way, we'll see where they go with it. I do like Telltale's approach with taking other people's IPs and expanding the stories, like they're doing with Walking Dead, like they're doing with The Wolf Among Us, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. So,
well, this is their opportunity to actually make something fresh, which, I mean, everything else had a decent backstory. You could take some facet of that and then expand on it in a way that
you know, hasn't been written about before.
Well, like I said, it also depends on who's writing it.
The story wasn't a strong point. It was just the comedy side of it.
Yeah, but like I said, it also depends on who's writing it. Is it Gearbox team that's writing the stories and they're just turning it into games, or is it actually Telltale's going to be coming up with the stories? So
I just hope it doesn't feel like a cash grab.
Yeah.
It feels like a cash grab at the moment, and if it has anything to do with Claptrap, I'm going to have a hard time trying to play it.
I don't actually...
Have you played Poker Night 2?
Well, that's got more than that. That's got like Brock Sampson.
Brock Sampson is fucking awesome at that.
Yeah. But I don't even think Claptrap was in the trailer for it. It was only Marcus, Handsome Jack, Digital Handsome Jack, and these two random Vault Hunter people. So
yeah. You're gonna run into
which were very classy dressed compared to regular Vault Hunters.
Right.
It looked like the archaeologists of Vault Hunters is what they looked like. So we'll have to see what happens. But either way, Last of Us, Survivor Plus mode, fun as shit. I'm loving the... It's hard as hell, but I'm loving the shit out of it. You can't do the sense thing where you sit there and listen and it'll show you where everybody is. You can't even do it on Survivor mode. On
can
Survivor
you still
Plus
listen,
mode.
Though?
Yeah, you can listen in and just kind of guess, but you can't like do the thing where you touch a wall and it actually highlights where everybody is. You can't do any of that. There's no real cues other than whenever you're grabbed or something, and you
can
do
still one shot
match.
A clicker.
You can one shot a clicker with a high powered gun, like when
you shiv them though.
You can shiv them, yeah. You can still shiv them. It takes about two when they grab you. It takes about two shiv stabs. If you get them from behind, you actually stab in their neck and twist it, and you can take them down. But you gotta get them from behind in order to have a sneak attack. Whenever you're doing the high powered sniper rifle during the whole sneaking around during the sniper scene with the group of Ellie and Larry and all that, you can take the clickers out with one shot. But it takes like two. My rifle's like maxed out, and that's why I like Survivor Plus, is it actually carries over your upgrades that you've done to yourself and your weapons, and leaves them exactly where they are, so you can actually try and max everything. I've maxed out all my skills now, and I've maxed out everything except for two weapons. That's my sniper. The scoped handgun, the El Diablo, and the Flamethrower, because those are the last two you get in the game, and they're about halfway upgraded, so I might be able to upgrade all of them by the end of the game, and see how powerful they can be, because usually when you get those in your first playthrough, by that time you've used so much resources to upgrade everything else, and there's so little part, there's all you got left is once you go through that Colorado scene, it switches over to a different time period. And then you've got like nothing really to do beyond that, so it's
but
kind
you
of
magically reacquire stuff afterwards.
You reacquire stuff, but it's your scrap components is the thing. As you start to get once you get into that part of the game into winter, there's not a whole lot of scavenging going on during that entire winter section of the game for you to get stuff to upgrade your weapons. And then when you get into spring, there's not a whole lot to grab either. So I'm hoping I can possibly upgrade those just to see how powerful they can be. By the way, great game, still loving it, and it's still fantastic. Other than that, I really had not played anything else. I've just been devoted to going through that and spending time with a girlfriend, so you know,
fair enough.
Which, reminder, Valentine's Day next Friday
of next week.
Yes. I just said next Friday of next week. Yeah, so be prepared for that. I already have.
I gotta get paid.
I have paid.
Yeah, also I got that giant dinosaur that look around the corner right there. Look at that thing.
It's cute.
It's huge.
It's cute.
It's huge.
It looks like you paid like two or three thousand tickets for it.
It was like $30 for that damn thing. And that's not all. I mean, she wanted... I got her a chocolate smell good bear last year, and she said it still smelled like chocolate, but it's starting to fade, so she wants a new one. So I had to go out and find that goddamn bear.
A chocolate smell good bear.
And I didn't want to hear the same thing, so I got this giant dinosaur to go with it and a couple other things. So
okay.
I'm trying to get tickets to a ballet.
Yeah.
God, that is fucking expensive.
Yeah, it can be.
A ballet.
Tickets are gonna run me about $200 when it's all said and done.
Jeez.
What show? Cinderella.
Oh, that's why. Get one of the crappier, the unknown shows. It's a lot cheaper. So, anyways, but that's what I've been up to.
It's cheaper to be forever alone.
Just wait for Steak and BJ Day. I'm just saying.
I know you got your monthly porn subscription.
Right?
But Just gotta keep yourself
for porn these days.
You just gotta keep yourself stocked and KY, so that way your dick doesn't get too alligator skin in case you do get lucky one night. You don't want her to complain about the rough callous foreskin, you know.
She might just call it ribbed for my pleasure.
Yeah. When I was single, I took better care of myself when I was single. I'd bleach my butthole. I did all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyways, so enough of Rusty's love life. I guess we're going to take a break since we covered our weekly goings on.
I guess.
Yeah, and we'll be back after that to go into news and everything else.
Yep.
So go ahead and hit stop. Yeppers, and we're back. See, I said it before you. Yeah, I totally cut you the fuck off.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. So, anyways.
You get that. You get that.
What, you put the can in the chair over there?
Yes.
It's supposed to be, I have to go get it?
No.
Yeah, that's Jason's chair, which means that's his hole.
Exactly.
That's so you just property. So you just put your can in his hole.
That's right.
Then he just put your can you back in your hole.
Can back.
And the can... Oh, now you're going to plug your hole with your arm. And we're back.
That's what he and his, he and his wife fight about that all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, I can't believe you're going to plug your hole with your hand.
With your arm.
With your arm, not your hand, your whole forearm.
And then I'm amazed at the storage capacity of said hole.
Yeah. No wonder she can't crap normally. Anyway, so, what are you doing, Jason? No wonder you keep your head shaved.
It's for all those rebirthing episodes that he goes through.
Jeez.
So I like to wear like a Fargo hat. You know, with the legs
going on the side. I just had Savastano's twice this weekend. This morning, rebirthing was fairly accurate.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Oh, impacted, it was bad.
Impacted
how many flushes
did
you get today
after that?
Wow.
After a while, it's just...
Do you get to the score?
Flush. 30 seconds later. Flush. Or you just step up off it.
Actually, you want to know a funny story? Here's my project manager and I were talking today, and we were joking around about something. We were talking about family and just, you know... getting away with shit that you don't get in trouble for. And he was talking about one day, he's from out in Wagner, and his dad...
Yeah, preface it with that.
Ooh. Yeah, well, his dad was a constable. He was a cop out there, and if I recall, he was. And he was. And he was talking about one night he was out drinking. He was talking about actually just things that his dad would do. We were just talking about things that parents do that you end up doing, and then so you stop yourself
right
when you get older. And he was talking about how he was making his kid clean his room and stuff. It was about making his bed. And he's like, my dad used to bounce a quarter off it to make sure it was made. And he's talking about whenever he split up with his girlfriend and he had to move back into his parents' house, he had some dishes in his room. His dad was like, well, you know, if you don't get those dishes out of there, they're going to end up in your bed one day. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll take care of it. He didn't take care of them one night. He comes home, pulls the sheet back, dead drunk, pulls the sheets back, and the dad just dumped all the plates into the bed and actually ruined the sheets, too.
Oh,
so he had to clean the dishes and do the laundry and everything else, because if he was caught sleeping without sheets, you imagine he'd probably get in trouble in a household that anal. But he was talking about another night he was coming home trash drunk.
Huh? I can't imagine, like, going back to being a teenager as an adult, because that's the situation
I was living
with.
Oh, yeah.
I lived with my parents for 2 months as an adult, and I was like, man, this fucking blows.
Yeah, it blows. So, but he's talking about he was out drinking one night, and he had curry. He had curry,
oh.
And he was trying to get into the house, and he wasn't going to make it, so he dropped trow and took a shit. And he went inside, and he felt fine. The next morning, he wakes up, he hears his dad just saying, what the fuck? You know, and he goes out there, and his dad's like thinking these people came and vandalized the place. He's like, look at this shit. They shit all over the squad car, and then they set fire to the grass because he actually had eaten enough curry that it upset his stomach. He flushed stomach acid out of his ass, and it burnt the ground. around the shit, so it looked like somebody had actually thrown a match and torched the crowd. But they sprayed it on the side of the squad car too. So he actually had the flaming shits, and it burnt the grass. And I was just like, "Holy fuck, man!" I was like, I've had some pretty, like, sodium-rich shits that burnt my asshole, where it's just nothing but clear water, or you're like, magnesium and sodium, it burns coming out. But I've never done it next to grass to see what happens. Now I'm actually curious. Now I want to go out there and take flaming shits on the snow and just watch it fizzle all the snow away.
I don't know, dude. That's a lot of curry.
All you have to do is go to Tres Amigos once.
Oh, dude, man. Oh, no. Hey. You're not joking. No. You think a restaurant like that would not make you sick? I went there and I got just a steak. I was in the bathroom, wretched, clear, fucking burning shits for like 4 hours. I'd have to go in there over and over again every like 20 minutes. I'd be okay, I gotta go. I go in there and it's just like pissing out my ass. And I'm thinking that, man, this has to have blood in it. This has to. I get done and I wipe my ass. I look down and it doesn't look like I did anything. It's just all clear water with a little bit of toilet paper off to the side. When it first started, yeah, it was colorful when it first started. And then it was like, it was like Ozark fucking Springs after that.
Fiery fucking Ozark.
Oh, fiery Ozark. It was like fucking Louisiana Springs at that point. Yeah. And it was just fucking horrible. It's just all the sodium and magnesium and everything that's mixed in there just burning the shit out of you. It's like excess just coming out, burning the shit out of your ass. And you're just like, this looks like drinking water. How does that hurt so bad? You know? Oh, that's gross. I know. I even told the girls, like, here, why don't you have a sip?
He's never going to be able to drink bottled water again.
I drink water all the time.
Here, this has some Dasani drops in it.
Dasani drops.
It's even side Dasani water. Oh, so. Wow. Mm. By the way, I love the burning grass story because it really made my day. That's fucking funny. So, anyways, so moving on.
He's over there fucking turning green and cringing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fuck you, Trent.
Oh. Man, no, Tres Amigos, yeah. I will never go back there. That was my first time there, and it was my last.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I didn't even pay for that dinner. That was a friend of mine paying for it. I will not go back.
What was bad is, he went there once, and he, like, loved it. We take my wife there.
Mm-hmm.
Go back for the second time, take my wife there.
I think I tried the same fucking thing, too.
Yeah, you had the same exact thing. We weren't out of there 5 minutes, and he's like, I'm not going to make it home.
No.
I'm not going to make it home.
I get out to the fucking car. They pay. I walk out to the car. I'm sitting there, fucking one hand on the car going, oh, God. Oh, God. We get into the fucking car, and I'm, like, holding on to shit, going, oh, God.
every bounce.
It's just like, fucking, like, clenching ass. Like, in a fucking, like,
I like it when diamonds. You actually get your hands down there to hold it together. You just get to that point, you just sit on your hands, and you're like, I can't do this. We gotta go. I was playing a show with John, actually, from the carousel. We were up in, I think it was Springfield, Missouri, and, I think it was that show. We were out of town either way, somewhere up north, and we went to this Mexican restaurant and we got some food and stuff, and we go back to the club that we're gonna play the show at. Nobody's there. It's just us, the bartenders, some wait staff, and they had two bars, and I said that both of those bartenders were there, and I'm like, I'm sitting there waiting for the show to start. I'm like, oh man, I need to take a shit. People are going to be piling in here real soon. I really need to take a shit. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the bathroom. There's no green room bathroom, so I had to go upstairs. Oh. Yeah, this is Kansas City, actually. I'm sorry, this is Kansas City. Because I remember the downstairs was built on the street that collapsed. So the downstairs basement was actually the top floor at one point. It was Davies Uptown. Uptown. I loved that bar. It was so awesome, and it was so creepy. Because the green room's here, and you go out, and there's a stairwell that goes up.
Yeah, there was like some stuff about some bootlegging that happened.
Yeah, there's like mobsters and bodies supposedly in the base floor of the basement.
They talk about they bricked over a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. When you're downstairs, you actually look. When you're in the green room, you come out in the hallway, and there's this stairwell that goes up, and then right in front of you is this dark room where the furnace is that used to be the first floor. And in the very far back, there's a bricked up door. The door's no longer there. It's just bricked up. And it's just like floorboards and dirt. And it's really creepy place downstairs. And you it's go upstairs. Cool little venue, and it's though. Really nice. Yeah.
I think Adrian used to do bartend there.
Nice, nice. I loved it. It's one of my favorite places to do shows.
I lived up there, actually visited him a few times up there.
Yeah, out of all the shows I played between Missouri and all that, Kansas City, Davies Uptown was my all time favorite place. It was just
that's
really
one of the favorite
great
like, small venues I've ever been to.
Yeah, and the bartender guy was super fun. He just hooked us up with free drinks all fucking night. So of course he entered in the middle of the show. You know, we were doing the band introduction. I gave props to the bartender, right. And then he sent over more free beer. So yeah, because he was an awesome guy. By the way, I think his name was Neil. So either way, I'm in the bathroom just holding on for dear life, just crapping out this fucking chimichanga. Just, you know, it's like I was like Apollo Mission 19. You know, it was I was ready to take off for fucking space, and it just starts coming out clear. And at that point, I was like, ah. Fuck, you know, because I'm going to be up there on stage with a sweaty butt crack.
You're looking up. It's going to hurt.
It's going to suck because I'm going to be hitting those notes going like, clench, ass clench, you know.
Pull this.
Yeah, and it was just a horror. And I was like, and worst of all, I'm drinking beer tonight. I don't care, I'm drinking beer, and that's just going to make it want to really come out. Luckily, I got it all out of me before the show. I just sat in the bathroom forever. And just fucking let it all go.
I've had fucking nights like that. Though there was one time I was in Florida, had some fucking shit happen like that.
Justin's like, fuck.
And
about poop again.
Yes, and we end up at like some fucking mom and pop like fucking store. Like,
yeah.
Shit, fucking hole in the wall store. I'm like, do you have a bathroom? I'm coming in there fucking holding pants. You know. I'm like, He's like, bathroom and back. I'm like, okay. I go in the back and I'm a fucking. Walking around merchandise, he's got fucking stored in the hallway there. Get to the bathroom. I'm done. I get to the fucking toilet just barely in time. I'm holding on. It's like fucking, I'm rocket ship style going crazy.
You can't use my Apollo mission.
I'm not. No.
I was shitting the river Styx,
I'm telling you right now.
Shitting the river Styx.
So. All right, so I'm fucking like, almost there. I'm about ready to go home. I'm sweaty. I'm dirty. I feel fucking terrible. I look over. No paper products in this motherfucker.
So did you use your jacket sleeve?
There was nothing in this fucking room.
You just wipe with your underwear and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if that... Oh, it was terrible.
I was seeing B&B Nation down in OKC with my ex-girlfriend, my friend Kenneth. And this chick that we knew, this little chick that we knew, and we were driving back, and everybody had been drinking except for Kenneth. He was a sober driver, but we're driving back, and Kenneth Mesnard.
Yeah. You're gonna tell this story?
Yeah, this is a great story.
Oh Lord, Jesus Christ!
So, we're driving back. Me and my girlfriend are in the back seat. My girlfriend and I are in the back seat. Kenneth is driving. This other chick, who's going to remain unnamed, is in the front seat.
My ears.
And we're driving back, and we stop at a Conoco. Okay, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and say. Fuck Conoco. This did not happen to me. This happened to the girl in the front seat, but I was there to help her. She goes in, I go in, I'm buying something to drink with my girlfriend, and we go outside, and we're waiting for her to come out. And she comes out, and she's like, this guy, he won't let me use the bathroom. We're like, what? He goes, yeah, apparently the bathroom, since it's after midnight, he won't let me use the bathroom. And I'm like, that's fucked up. Why won't they let you use it? We bought gas. We bought stuff. He should let you use the bathroom. She's like, yeah, he won't fucking come out to unlock it for me or give me the key to unlock it. He told me I need to go somewhere else. And I'm like, fuck that. Go in there and fucking tell him to let you use the fucking bathroom or you're going to call fucking Conoco. So she goes in there. He goes like, no, get the fuck out, blah, blah, blah. So she goes and sneaks around the back to take a shit by the dumpster. Unfortunately... She didn't make it to the dumpster. Apparently, she needed to go really bad. And here she is in a pair of industrial boots tucked in... Sorry, a pair of pants tucked into industrial boots, like big, like knee-high boots. She crapped herself in her pants, her slacks. And I didn't know about this. We're waiting in the car. We're waiting forever. And we saw her walk behind there. I was like, what the fuck is she doing? So I tell Kenneth, I'm like, here, dude, just drive over there and see if the bathroom's back there. So he drives over. He drives around the corner, just driving really slowly, and see her face peeking out from the dumpsters way on the other side. And I was like, oh, there she is. He's like, what is she doing? And she's just like waving for somebody to come over. I was like, I'll go check. So I get out of the car and I walk over there and I come walking up. I go, what's going on? She's like, I don't want to say. She's like, I need something though. And I was like, oh. And I was like, And I was like, okay, I got an idea. Said, chill there. I'm going to go around the entrance to the other side of the dumpster and take my pants off. I have swim trunks on because we were going swimming a lot.
Right.
So I'd always wear swim trunks just in case we went swimming because they're just as good as boxers.
Right.
And I go behind the dumpster. We were planning on going swimming when we got back. And so I go into the dumpster and I take my pants off. And I put my jeans back on and I've got the swim trunks. And I come around the corner and she's just standing right there. She actually came over and I didn't know that. And she's like pantsless. Covered in some poop. Standing right there. And I'm like, oh. There you go. Yeah. I get a bag out of fucking Kenneth's car, a trash bag, and we put all the stuff in there, and we throw it in the trunk. And we're driving back, and the entire time she's like, well. She goes, I don't know what to do. And I was like, hey, we're not going to say anything. But of course it got around, because what she did... She threw herself in front of the bus and started telling everybody making poop jokes.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's a way to do it. Diffuse the situation by making your own jokes. But that didn't help. No. People still did it. By the way, horrible, horrible night. She crapped all over herself. There was shit down her legs and in her boots. I'm going forward to just to gross him out.
He's starting to turn up.
Those boots were ruined. Wonderful shade of green. I told her to keep the swim trunks. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, they're my favorite pair too. But I was like, I don't need them back. You can fucking keep them.
So, I wouldn't keep them and burn them.
I'm sure she did, but either way, I hope she burned those jeans and boots.
Into the incinerator they go.
With all the babies.
Fucking throwing them right at the window.
I'd say just drive down the highway and fling them at someone's car. What? It's right on the... Yeah, shit on the highway.
Is that Nutella?
No, they didn't show that one in school.
I would have stood a foot away from the car and thrown them inside the store.
Yeah, I told her, I said, you need to call Conoco when you get back home and just write down this store number and complain about that guy and tell them what happened. Tell them you will never go to another
fucking
Conoco.
Fucking Jimmy McShitty Pants.
Yeah. It's like, fuck. I was like, there is no reason. The bathroom was right there. He had a key. He was like, no, this closed. I'm not getting out to open it. Yeah, total dick. So you need to report that motherfucker. Anyways, so moving on, let's go ahead and jump into some Facebook. So, what kind of shitty comments did we get on Facebook?
So, wow, shitty comments.
Come on now.
That's awesome. So the question last week was, with Microsoft's purchase of Gears of War from Epic, how do you feel about console companies purchasing their big IPs to continue making them themselves?
Oh, okay, so I wasn't
themselves?
Here. I wasn't here for
Yeah,
that
you
one.
Weren't here.
So.
And Scott was our only reply, saying it's not about console companies themselves. As far as I'm concerned, Nintendo has plenty of franchises they own and people are fine with it. Same said for Sega's time in the console wars. It's all about Microsoft. They don't do anything well except buy out other people's stuff and railroad people via contracts.
Alright.
Standard Scott answer.
my point of view on it is that, as I said, with Black Tusk is actually the production company owned by Microsoft that's taken over Gears of War, which has Ferguson, who was... part of the Epic team for Gears of War. Just like with Halo series, some of the writing staff that came over for Halo was actually from Bungie. So it's one of those things where they try and keep it within that realm. Now, I remember I was sitting there going like, well, after Judgment, I said, well, you know, they still got some more games to fuck up or make better. And somebody said, well, no, they're done with Gears. And I said, they're not done with Gears. They're not done. They won't. They can't end an IP that makes them that much money. They'll find ways to continue, and this is Microsoft finding a way to
there
continue it.
Yep.
Epic wanted to do other things. This was their way out. Same thing with Bungie. Bungie wanted to do other things. That was their way out.
Mm-hmm.
What irritates me is that Microsoft took Halo with 343 Studios, which, yeah, the writing team was the same, but what really bothered me is Bungie had pretty much stated that Master Chief's last game was Halo 3. They were never going to put Master Chief in another game as the main character. So whenever 343 purchased, sorry, took over doing Halo, they made Part 4, which you play Master Chief, but it's not a story about Master Chief. No, it's about Cortana, which is a total fucking cop-out, in my opinion. Because it wasn't even a solid story. The gameplay is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hard as the others. I liked what they did with the multiplayer on it, and the episodic stuff you could do was pretty cool. I imagine they kind of push gears in the same direction, very similar to that. Because Halo 4 did do so well, they're going to try and copy it over into Gears. And then when Halo 5 comes out, whatever they do, if they do anything new and innovative that actually works, Gears of War is going to do the same thing. So we're going to get kind of a standard across both games, I think, is what's going to happen. They're trying to find that chemistry that works for them.
Well, I can understand the chemistry, but I'm not really digging on the idea of them doing something that's going to be very similar.
No.
Well, I mean, you can't have Gears completely similar, but right. What he's saying
they're
is
talking about, I'm talking about the episodic.
Follow along the same lines.
Yeah. Well, kind of like how Halo 4 does the episodic, basically, right. Instead of firefight, they do these episodes, they bring in which are basically their tiered firefights. They might do the same thing. I'd rather that Gears keeps Horde mode and makes it better, but I don't know. They're either going to basically try and turn Gears multiplayer into what they did with Halo with the episodic stuff, or they're just going to keep it with the Horde mode and make that the main focus on the multiplayer. Who knows? So it's going to go one way or the other. I know Ferguson worked with Infinity Ward, Bioshock Infinite, as well as the Epic stuff for Gears of War. So at least there's somebody in there as a creative director who has who has history with the franchise.
Yeah.
We'll just have to fucking see. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's my point of view. Yeah. So, with that, we're going to move on to our question for this week, which involves Alpha Gaming and Steam. So, that's awesome.
It is.
Really? The fuck is that? So, that Real Academy instructs students in the art of lightsabers. That's fucking hilarious. Wow, they're actually kicking some serious ass right there. That kid's taking on like two guys at once. I feel like our youth was basically just thrown away when I see kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have been a Star Wars kid.
I feel cheated a little.
I would be Star Wars kid.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a child doing this stuff got you beat up.
Exactly.
You know. Nowadays, you're just people go like, dude, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I know.
No, Uber nerds are the scientists.
Now. Weird Al's popular. I mean, that wasn't the case on the other ground.
Right.
You liked Weird Al and you're eight. You got your ass kicked. Yeah. So, but either way. So our question is, we're looking at a lot of alpha gaming that's coming available through platforms such as Steam, where you get to play a game before it comes out as it's being developed. You can actually give them input, they actually listen to you, and you get to play the game as it's being built. Sometimes it's glitchy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they wipe out your entire fucking game and you have to start from scratch, but at least you're getting to see a game as it evolves, as it's being made.
Well, I was going to say, a really good example of a game that turned out pretty well, Don't Starve.
Yeah.
That was a game that I participated in the beta for. Me and Matt played it from really early beta, actually, to where it didn't have a lot of features, but it was definitely playable to where it is now, which is not a completely different game, but it's pretty close to a completely different game.
Yeah.
We have Dota 2, which I played beta in a long time ago, but didn't follow through on it.
Yeah.
Warframe is still basically in beta, but it doesn't quite feel totally
it's an beta. Open beta right now. That's but the designation for it.
I played Minecraft. I mean, that's a good example of a game that started off in beta that became like one of the fifth best selling games of all time.
Like, let's go and do a definition for people out there who aren't PC gamers, because most people know that a beta is something where you sign up, you get selected, and if you're selected, you get to play the game. In alpha through Steam, you actually can purchase at any point in time, no matter who you are. You're purchasing the game. You're going to have it forever, and once they actually finish the game, they're just going to patch the version you have until it is that final version that's being released to the public, but you've been playing it since maybe a year before that or 2 years before they finally finish it. So you get to see every evolution and also help dictate the steps they're going to take. Like if you suggest, oh, hey, I think it'd be great if you had this in the game, and if enough people or even if that one idea just from you is great enough, they'll put it in there.
Well,
you also get your name in the credits sometimes.
Well, I was just looking at Like, I was digging through the alpha, because I really want to like Rust. I just don't think it's, to me,
yeah.
I have been having a lot of fun just because of where it's at, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. But they're saying they're 10% finished with the game. So, at that point, like, I feel like I've probably, I'm okay with where it's at if it's only 10%.
Yeah.
They've also opened up a Trello, which is kind of like a Tumblr. Essentially what they'll do is they're posting, like, their goal points in there and what they've completed for the day. And they did that recently, or Gary Newman did, the guy who did Gary's Mod Does Rust, so that you could see what they were actually working on, and then you could post comments on what they're doing, which I thought was a really smart idea. The last update they did the other day, they said, hey, we got this trailer, we want you guys to look at it. So they released what the Steam achievements were, they released some of the artwork for some of the promotional stuff, which is why I have that pig with all the pieces of chicken attached to it.
Right.
It was actually something that they had released as some promotional art, which they thought was funny.
Well, it's funny because everything you kill looks like chicken meat.
Well, it's all chicken breast.
It's all chicken breast.
So, but like, and then he's got like some stages. We fixed the coding for this. We fixed this for hackers. We fixed this for like sharing doors and things like that. And so they're actively posting in there. Here's what we're doing. And it feels like, hey, now I know what's going on. Or you got games like 7 Days to Die where I'm playing a lot of, and it's like weekly almost or bi-weekly. Like, hey, we're about to release an update. Be ready for the wipe. And then they wipe everything. You start over, and then you got all these new toys to play with. Mm. And so that game feels finished enough to have fun, but you can tell there's a lot of potential that's still left over. So, like, yeah, it's not good to review yet, but I'm actually having fun in that alpha because I don't feel cheated with the wipes. And there are some people that really want to save that quote-unquote progress of what I've done, and so they build their own separate servers, but they're improving so much in the game. Like, it doesn't bother me. It's not real hard to fortify a game. In a couple of hours, I can have fortified a base and had a decent, like, survivable assets. I'm just not going to make it to day 50, you know what I mean?
Right.
Unless I'm playing constantly. So for me, it's okay to do that because we'll jump right back in and be like, all right, so that got wiped. Travis, what do you want to go? All right, we're both here. Let's go to this next house. We'll start there again, and it'll be different.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, depending on the game and where it's at in alpha, it's good. It's if it's like a... Scott got me Interstellar Marines, and that game is so alpha, it feels like a project.
I installed it, and I played a little bit, and I thought, I'll come back to this.
It feels really unfinished right now. Yeah. I'd say it was too alpha for me.
Like, even the loading, I mean, I couldn't even actually tell it was loading. Yeah. It just sat there, and I was just like, what? Well, and then I clicked it, and then it went into the fucking game.
Well, it's like Starbound. I mean, that game's still pretty alpha, too, but... Like, in Starbound, you can at least do pretty much everything you can do in Terraria, except for the boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play it like Terraria in a sandbox, it's fun for that, which can be fun in any of in that type of game, you know? But it's not... It doesn't have those boss fights and things like that. But you still have tier levels and your gear and things like that. But there's not... The quests aren't there, you know? And the NPCs are fairly basic right now. But they've improved, like, multiplayer was really shitty before.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's as simple as you just launch the server client from inside the game client, and then you tell somebody your IP, set a password, and you're done. Like, it was really easy for Travis to jump in and for John to jump in. And so we had a three-player Starbound game going.
Hmm.
And it was fine for what it was, you know.
Right. Mm. I've got a couple views on that. I'm going to look at, you know, at these games, you're putting out these games. You're basically spending the finished product price for these games, right up front.
Sometimes,
you know, for the most part,
Wasteland 2.
You know, you're going to be spending sometimes even more, depending on what game you're looking at. Like Planetary Annihilation comes to mind.
Well, Planetary Annihilation,
but that was right.
they
$9,
right? They overpriced that because of the whole success of, well, it's the success of the first, and they thought, okay, well, if people really love that, they'll pay this amount, and people have paid for that fucking $80-$90 fucking package. But they've also price cut it a number of times too.
Well, they have over time. They said they were going to price cut it, and that just came to mind as, like, the one that stood out the biggest.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't like buying a game unless it's finished.
Yeah.
And they buy the game. It says, Steam is really good about this, showing that it's early alpha access. They have a big banner, you know, when you go to purchase these games, so you can't really miss it.
But there's still people that feel like if you're, I'm going to spend $25-$30 on a game, I should be getting a finished product.
I kind of wish they'd just add a section to their list of early access. Just add that instead of mixing it with everything else.
Well, the developers don't want that because they want the games to be, you know, name recognition as, you know.
Well, they can still do that, but having a way to actually just filter out that stuff.
New games and new early access.
Yeah, through a search. Because in a search, you can look at games under $5, game under $10. They should have a way to find games that are tagged as alpha so you can see them. But another thing with the alphas are actually available for special as well. They go on special sale. Like Nether, I picked up during Christmas because I was really wanting that game, but I didn't want to pay the $30. So I ended up paying $12 for it, and I got the Chosen Edition. So I was able to get this game that's normally $30 for more than 50% off, and it's that's gonna be all I ever pay because it's a free to play online game. And as it gets developed, it's already actually a pretty cool game for what it is. I mean, you watch me play; it's actually pretty interesting. It's a lot of just surviving and sneaking around. But once the game's finally finished, that's all I ever paid was $12, and I got total access. Yeah. So I usually buy those when they're on sale. I don't buy them at full price.
Yeah, you get those people that you know that will pick them up on special and get them, you know, get them at a lower price. But you know, if the game doesn't, if they're not willing to walk with the game as it's being developed and see all the changes and suffer through the wipes and you know and things like that, then they're going to end up feeling cheated if they buy buy this $25 game.
Well,
they're wanting to play it. It's got a really good concept, but it's just not polished enough to make it interesting.
I say alphas are largely for people who are gaming because they're gamers. When you're gaming just a game, you're going to want the polished product. But gamers who love the game to game and actually experience what's going on and who understand what the alpha is, that it's alpha, then beta, then final copy, they know what they're getting themselves into. And if I was just a typical gamer popping on and didn't really, I was just casual and I saw somebody had posted that this is an alpha build and does not reflect what the final game will be like, I'm going to steer clear. I'm going to add it to my wish list of, I'll check this out later. But I'm not going to grab it right then and there.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, other alphas, I'm playing Project Zomboid on and off as they're building that game. And that really didn't have a lot to it when I first started playing it. Now they finally added multiplayer. I think once it goes on special again, I'll find some people that want to play it with me and buy it for some other people to try it out.
No, there's that one you and I grabbed. I haven't had a chance to hop into it. It's You Are Being Hunted, Sir.
I haven't got that yet.
You haven't grabbed that? See, I grabbed it, and I still haven't got a chance to play it. But I know that they were tweaking some new things with the AI. And that game looked extremely interesting for its art style and what you're doing. I mean, it's a lot of sneaking and all that, but it looked really interesting. And the art style was really sold
me on it. I've watched some playthroughs.
It looks fun. And I bought it with the intent of waiting. So, because I bought it on sale.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to install it, but I'm not going to play it until probably, I think, summer is when I said. Yeah. So that was my intent. So
yeah, I picked up, or I actually got Starbound gifted to me, and I played it for a little bit. It's still being worked on, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna set this aside. I'm gonna wait for it to do it. I'm not gonna participate in making it better because to me that's frustrating.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely play it once it gets a little bit more polished to it.
Yeah.
There's one way of doing it, but I think a lot of what I've seen from the community is that they don't want to end up paying to test. They seem like they've got that mentality like they're paying to test a game instead of paying to play a game.
Well, some people are down with paying to test because it gives them early access. Even if the game is not fully there, it still gives them early access to get in there and experience and play and also see it evolve, plus actually have their input be taken seriously.
I would say the majority of people, though, don't put any input. A lot of it ends up just being, I'm playing this game.
Right. Yeah.
I've only posted like one thing in the Rust forums, and I've posted a couple things in Starbound.
Yeah.
Like, I take it fairly seriously because I want to see what happens. I haven't posted anything in 7 days to die, but I plan on it.
Right.
They update it so damn fast. I'm just like, okay, well, it's already taken care of.
There's definitely things to do, but you know, when with people nowadays, it just seems like the people that want to get in on the early access stuff, they're banking on those people that just want early access. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find those few players that, like you, that will, you know, actually add to the
I think I worry about burning out too. So like the game needs to be constantly changing enough for me to really like it. It's like with Rust, again, I'm going to wait more because I feel like it's more unfinished than some of the other ones I've planned. Yeah. That and Project Zomboid are both pretty early.
And with alphas, it's a hit or miss as to if they're going to do a lot of change stuff or not. I mean, you can sit there and look at, I mean, they usually post on the alpha page when their change log when they do it. And if you see it updated on a continuous basis, then you know that they're constantly updating. So you know if you buy it this week, by next week, it could be a totally different game, which is entertaining. It's kind of like watching the director's cut of a movie after you've already seen the other one. You're looking for those changes. You want a different experience. And it's the same thing right there. You're wanting to get this game, see it in this way. This is the early version where they just have this one mechanic in there, and then they change it. Now it has this whole other mechanic that changes the whole gameplay. So I think alphas are good, and I like what they're doing with it, and it's also does cut down on in-house beta testing because it allows them to actually, because they monitor that shit to see how it plays on your machines. And I think ultimately that when the game finally comes out for full release, it actually helps iron out a lot more kinks.
Well,
so
when
it does go forward live, they've already seen it played on so many different machines, and they've gotten the results back, and they're able to iron things out.
Well, it's just like on coding updates, and that's kind of the last thing I want to add, just to give an example. Seven Days to Die ran like shit on the server that we created traditionally, and part of that is there was this big-ass memory leak. My buddy's a server admin. He noticed it right off the bat. He's like, this game's running on 5.5 gigs of RAM right now. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but that has to be a memory leak. And Alpha 6.2 releases, like, the next day, we all update through Steam. You had to go in and, like, choose I want to be in beta access, and immediately updates to, like, a 600-meg patch. And then immediately we're all running on, like, 0.5 gig of RAM, and the server's running on 1 gig.
Yeah.
And it never got any higher than that, despite everything that's happened, because it was slowing down and starting to chug, and it kept crashing my buddy's computer in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And it was just the memory leak, because all of our games were running, like, 4 gigs of RAM, and the server's running, like, 6.
Yep.
So, like, there was obviously something wrong, but that seemed like they fixed it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there was somebody out there saying, dude, I don't know what's going on, but this is a crazy-ass memory leak.
Yeah. And that's what I was talking about. I said, you know, by monitoring how it's playing on all these alpha early access people, they can iron out bugs much quicker for all different types of machines, because a memory leak can be caused by a number. It's not just, it might not memory leak on this setup, but it might do it on this, and it's just the way it works, especially when it comes to servers. So I like the idea. It helps put out a more solid game in the end. So do you have any, you've been really quiet with your
been really quiet. The big plus to it is just a larger testing base.
Yeah,
we've seen developers playing with it in beta stages. Well, just starting it in alpha stages is going to make it even better. It's
all the hype too. I mean, YouTube and everything else.
Yeah.
It gets a lot more info out there, because technically when you're buying it and you're doing that alpha, there's no NDA attached to it because you've purchased it. So you can put all kinds of crap and actually do an Evo vlog showing the evolution of this game, because the developer does it. The developer might be somebody completely unknown who doesn't have that many followers, but you might get somebody who actually has followers, who has a vlog that they play games, and they're showing people, kind of like State of Decay, how State of Decay was. There's a lot of people who were doing evolution blogs showing how the game was changing as they were playing it, and that actually went over a lot of people, because at the beginning it was a pain in the ass to play.
I'm not a real big fan of State of Decay.
No, but as they fixed it, it became more and more entertaining, became more and more difficult in a fun way, and more of a challenge, and it actually got a really big following because of it, because I could see the evolution and how it was getting better, and that really helps, because these guys are busy making the game. They don't have a whole lot of time, because sometimes these people are so small companies, they don't have time to go out there and devote towards the marketing like Stanley Parable had.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Parable did a great job with their marketing scheme with the videos they made. Not everybody has that time or resources either.
Well, that's like you said, it saves them money towards development as
time mainly,
for the testing. You're not doing everything in house. You're not paying a third party to test it.
When you're getting your crash reports coming in from everybody's systems, letting you know what they ran into, it really helps you isolate the problems and to basically narrow down as to what caused that problem. You see that basically everybody who had a crash caused by, sorry, this type of crash, we're using this type of motherboard or this type of video card or whatever, or this type of RAM even, you can narrow it down to there's a problem with that and we need to fix that.
Yeah.
And so it makes it much easier. But anyways, we've harped on. So that was basically our question. We had no emails this week. News. I'll start mine really quick. Just the one I have, which was there was a big troll going around today that that Ubi had signed a basically signed over a writ of abandonment on the Watch Dogs trademark, and that was going around everywhere, and people were flipping out. And of course, somebody out there wanted to troll everybody because, of course, it'd been a while since any news on Watch Dogs, so.
Right.
Since it got delayed. So, but that was a whole troll. It was not real. Ubi came out and said that was done by somebody completely non-company related, and they even forged the CEO of Ubi's name on the fucking supposed submission of abandonment, which basically means they would be abandoning the trademark Watch Dogs for anybody to purchase.
Yeah.
So, big, nice troll. Very funny. Not as epic as the Fallout.
No,
no, that was hard enough.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Believing in them.
Yeah, they had even me on there, but they that was a very well done.
Yeah, it was.
That was
But this one was what it was. So, anyways, with that, I see a funny piece of news up on Justin's computer, so I'm gonna pop over to him.
It's funny and
this.
Sad at the same time.
Yeah.
DLC content for Batman Arkham Origins was canceled on Wii U.
Only for the Wii U.
They're offering refunds if you bought. If you repurchased it.
That's not like abandoned ship. Abandoned ship.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's a really terrible sign, actually. If they've committed to something, sold the product, and said, never mind.
Yeah, well, think about it. Like, what if you got only 50,000 people that want that DLC? You know, like that's not in the in the numbers game of games.
Yeah,
that's nothing.
The port cost doesn't cover how much.
Yeah, it doesn't cover a dev studio trying to make that work.
Yeah, especially with the pad and everything, because the pad has to be developed separately. It's like a standalone app, and
it's terrible.
It sucks because I mean the system has a great potential if it was utilized correctly.
I had a lot of fun with Mario Brothers. Stuff.
Yeah, I had great fun with Zombie U and Deus Ex HR Director's Cut. I mean, it's got some fun stuff in there. It just needs to be utilized correctly. So, anyways, moving on from that, let's jump to Jason. You got anything? You're too cool for school. All right, Rusty, you got anything?
I've only got like the faster. I have. Just the pre-order stuff for Elder Scrolls Online.
All right, go ahead and spit it out.
You can pick it up right now. There's a pre-order 20% off pre-order coupon that you can get for the Digital Imperial edition for $64.
It's the version that lets you actually convert all of your armor over to into Imperial armor and actually lets you play as an Imperial as well.
Well, yeah. The digital digital content in the Imperial can. play as the Imperial race, which is an extra 10th race in ESO that's exclusive to that Imperial edition.
Mm-hmm.
You get the white horse, a set of good rings,
some horse armor,
and horse armor.
No, I like the other perk that he's.
And then the mud crab vanity pet.
Yeah, not that one.
But there's. Which one are you talking about?
The one that actually allows you to take any armor that you have or find and actually automatically convert it into Imperial armor.
Right.
So that one's kind of cool because you can just take a regular leather vest and convert it over to an Imperial cuirass or something like that.
Right.
So.
Well, and I can't even spoil that because of the NDA. But there is also an Explorer's Pack which allows you to do. I have a different vanity pet. Gives you 4 bonus treasure maps. And one of the big things that they revealed was, as part of this, you can play any of the 9 races in any alliance. Hmm. Which has people wondering, because that's only going to be a pre-order thing.
So, like, what
there's only 3 races per alliance and they're locked in that. You can only be like an Aragonian and like Ebonheart
like,
Pact.
Like Rhaegard.
Right. So you can, you know, if you pre-order, you can play as an Aragonian in the Aldmeri Dominion. Mm-hmm. And there's different racial bonuses to these, you know, these races. So there's a lot of people were saying that's going to break the game. I mean, you basically said we're going to do these three races for these bonuses in this particular thing, and it's gonna
what are you playing,
identify
Rusty?
What
are you going as?
Khajiit. I'm a kitty.
Are you gonna make it Grumpy Cat?
You need to.
Yeah. I'm going Rhaegard if I purchase the game, because I always play Rhaegard.
I was gonna play Khajiit, or I was gonna play Aragonian, because I think the beast races really got the shaft up until Skyrim.
I just want something with a cool mohawk and an epic beard.
Yeah.
That's my requirements.
So you can do that with Rhaegar.
Yeah, so. But I don't want to play like a Nord or...
You just want to be white.
I don't want to play a Nord, but I don't want to play an elf. So they've got three different elf races.
If I did elf, I'd do the drow. If I play the elf, I'd do the drow.
Yeah.
Give him a rockin' mohawk and crazy eyes.
I like my red guards because we get the berserk mode where we just go ape shit and just turn the fuck out of everything, just die.
Yeah, with the racial bonuses, I wonder if they're still once a day.
Yeah, they might be.
Like it to be, that's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, yeah,
Bretons' passive resistance to magic was actually really good too, and I play a Breton a lot.
What was it? Well, didn't the Bretons get King Speech? Didn't they get who was it who got
Voice of the Emperor?
Yeah, Voice of the Emperor. That was it, yeah.
That was the Imperial.
Yeah, that was the Imperial.
So I'll go Breton and get the massive magic resist and build a tank or something.
Yeah.
But I really kind of want to play the magic now after seeing it, so Breton would be the perfect race.
Yeah, the video that they showed for the dev plates and
the magic
really
looks cool.
Nice. I just noticed that there was a lot of ranged classes and not a lot of melee classes
That's my problem, because my biggest hangouts, which I can't go into, had to do with melee class stuff, because that's largely what I play, and there was a bit of issue.
I still got time to play.
I have a feeling that it's fixed. Looking at that, it looked like it was fixed, so I'm hoping...
It looked like a real game at this point.
Yeah, it actually looked like they had it fixed, and if they did, that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, it's like, my biggest worry is that I love playing Rhaegard, but I like mixing things up a bit. Like, my Rhaegard on Skyrim is... a, you know, two-handed weaponry as well as archery. I mean, his sneak ability is maxed out. Pretty much all of his damn abilities are maxed out. I hope that they allow you to still jump between weaponry to where you can kind of tailor-make.
They're saying that you could multi-spec.
Yeah, so as long as I can basically take my warrior but not have to go through heaven and hell to get him a bow and arrow, because on like something like Warcraft... To have a warrior class, because you have to go to Aberdeen, because that's the only place where you can get an alliance arrow fucking specialist to master to train you.
I'm sure they fixed that by this point, but
I don't think that. I think that's still. I think it's still in Aberdeen.
That game fucking easy.
They
sure
probably made it easy.
I'm sure there's
to get
like
to
one
Aberdeen.
Vendor that just does everything in that.
They probably made it easy to get to Aberdeen, where the second you start the game in L1 Forest, to make your happy ass way up to Ironforge, or no, what was the name of the Stormwind? You get the Stormwind, and they're like, "Hey, guess what? Here's a portal to every major alliance city." That's probably what they've done.
Well, yeah. You can play right now, and then you get an instant 90. So, I mean, it's,
it's so fucking gay, so gay.
Yeah, I'm done with that game. I've been done with it for fucking years.
That game is now for campers and 12-year-olds. That's pretty much what
and
it
Matt.
Is. And Matt, which
you're
one
right.
is he?
I started saying, which one is he? The 12-year-old or the camper?
Both.
He's a 12-year-old camper. He's been playing that game for 12 goddamn years, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what you got. You got anything else?
No,
okay,
not really.
So we're going to jump over to Justin for his little Steam news thing.
I got some quick stuff. Actually, this came out about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
There's a Steam music beta right
Hot
now.
Hot out of the ass.
Yeah. They got a limited beta right now going on. If you join the group for Steam Music, they're going to let you play music through the Steam app.
Mm-hmm.
So, or let you pull MP3s off your hard drive or whatever, so
as
you can
play
so
games.
That you can play games and listen to music.
Yeah, from your own library. So that means you can probably control it through your community
overlay.
Hub.
So you don't have to like it's a little bit of a pain in the ass. Like I'm listening to Spotify or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or I'm listening to something off my library, and having to tab out and click and change tracks or whatever, or create a playlist, it would be nice to just have access and just pull the folder.
Multi-monitor.
Yeah.
You know, shift tab, well, go over there.
That's what I mean. But like, if you played like Skyrim, you alt tab out of Skyrim so many times.
No, after while, I hate shift tab. That's when you bring up the overlay.
That's what I mean. Yeah. If you have the players right there.
Yeah, that's what they, they're going to mix it into the community overlay to the Steam hub, so that when you press that, what was it, shift tab, and it pulls up the browser message list. There's a player feature there which lets you basically change folders to a whole new album or skip track, go back track, play this, play that. So it allows you just to have it integrated right into your Steam. So
if they did that, if they expanded that so that you can, you know, use Spotify and Pandora and things like that, you know,
in there was already people asking for that.
Yeah, because I have a spot. I pay for Spotify.
I pay for Pandora.
Yeah,
so. I have a really good music library. It's all boards of Canada.
Nice. It's good track. Oh, that's good tracks too.
I know.
So yeah,
some stuff off.
But not like Geo Gotti, right? Fucking hell. But either way. I love Spotify. I use it at work. I use it at home. I have it on my phone. I use it in my car. And I pay for it because a lot of the artists that are on there are artists I really enjoy, and they ask to be on there, so I support them by paying. And but you can use it for free. You just have to put up with the Trojan commercials every once in a while. But but no, I love it because it's basically, it ties in with my music library, and it ties in with the nice. Well, that's Splinter Cell right there. They were in
Splinter. It's just their music library.
Well, no, I'm just saying they were in Splinter Cell, so that's a good game tie-in right there. Chaos Theory, but great fucking soundtrack. By the way, if they had a way for me to integrate my Spotify playlists into there, then I can actually make a playlist for every game. So when I'm playing Skyrim, I can pull up my Skyrim list when I'm playing something like, basically, if I'm playing something cyberpunky, I can pull up cyberpunk music to kind of go with it. So I'm basically making my own soundtrack, and it kills the soundtrack of the game, which you can do anyways through settings. So it's a great idea, and it's something console has talked about too. And like Xbox originally used to be able to do that on specific games. Like I think on Morrowind, I think was one of the ones you could do it with on Xbox. I can't remember, but I haven't really seen it utilized too well in too many of the other consoles. So this way, you can do it on every goddamn game you can play. And with his other news story about PC gaming, and it's...
Just bring this up. PC gaming's really making a comeback this last year. Last year was a $25 billion industry, which is fucking impressive, actually.
Yeah.
It's really
more
impressive
than we make. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Take the smallest chunk of that.
They were saying the two biggest chunks were actually mobile gaming, with League of Legends actually having about 37 million. Actually, let me go to League of Legends, because this is actually fucking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have 27 million daily players, 67 million players per month, and 7.5 million players concurrently during peak hours. And then Dota, they didn't show the stats for Dota. Dota's considerably less because it's been around a lot less time, but they were the number two spot.
But taking a look at LoL and mixing that against Warcraft...
No, it's like three times what Warcraft
is. I know, that's what I'm saying. It's just kicking the shit out of what Warcraft's had over its lifetime at any peak time. And it's doing a great fucking job. So PC gaming is definitely coming up.
Yeah, so like MOBAs are definitely driving the PC industry. And both free-to-play games do a really smart free-to-play model where it's not... I think League is a little bit more strict with it, where you have to buy characters, but they rotate in like 12 characters. It's been a while since I played League. It's been about a year. But they rotate in characters every week, and everybody can try those characters. Mm. Then, of course, you can purchase characters, where Dota is all cosmetic. So
yeah,
I think it's a really smart idea, or smart to bring this to the forefront, though, because it proves that there's still people alive and kicking and playing these games.
Yeah,
it doesn't require the PC Master Race gaming rig to play a lot of these games.
Yeah. No.
It's mostly the console ports that... require that shit.
But it's one of those things where the geeks were right. PC gaming, that's where it's at.
Yep.
It's very moddable.
That's what else do we have?
Duke Nukem Mass Destruction tease for PC and PS4. It's an RPG Duke Nukem game with skill sets. Who gives a shit? It was just on the news.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. It was 10 years from now.
Right.
13.
13, yeah.
There was a mention from ZeniMax that Elder Scrolls Online won't require PS Plus, but will require Xbox Live Gold. Or just buy it on PC.
Yeah, just buy it on PC.
Yeah, don't buy it on a fucking console.
Get it on the preferred system, which is PC.
Yeah, I can imagine Kurtz having some awesome mods for stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
So I would rather play UI with some mods support.
For that fucking game. That would be
fucking amazing. I mean, this isn't even like biasness towards PC. This is just the game is made for PC.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's great that some people have access to this like they did with DC Universe Online on PlayStation. But the flip side of that coin is, like, here's another reason why we like PC so much.
Yeah.
Not to throw those other consoles on the market, because me and Trent have a shitload of consoles.
Yeah, and I think it's great that MMOs are coming to console, but a game like Elder Scrolls has always been developed for PC first. I prefer playing them on PC, and that's where
and
I prefer
Xbox.
For it to stay. And then Xbox, if I have time. So, because I don't want my dragons to fly backwards. Like,
well, I actually have mine on loan right now to one of my employees just because she doesn't have any money for games.
Oh,
it's nice. I was like, so you should play some Skyrim. This will keep you busy the rest of the year.
Well, I'm thinking about laying one of my devs bar on my PlayStation so you can play Last of Us. So.
Yeah, you totally should.
Yeah.
What else did I have?
Jason, we gotta wrap up.
Yeah,
he's been ready to go for the past like half an hour.
So I'm just gonna wrap this up with the last two bits.
Fall asleep.
Just free games coming out for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live. I won't get into my thoughts on this, but Dead Island and Toy Soldiers Cold War free on Xbox Live this month. Hmm. PlayStation has. Let me go to the list. We have. Seriously, come on. Come on.
I'm sorry, Jason. He's fucking off.
Yeah, I know. It's his fault.
It's all my fault. Metro Last Light, which came out last year.
Wow.
What else do we got? We have Mod Nation Racers Road Trip for the PlayStation Vita, which I do want to play that at this point. Outlast coming to PS4. What else do we got? Payday 2. Well, we'll see how that goes. I'm still not that impressed. That'll be on PS3. Remember Me for PS3, which Trent seemed to like alright, but
it's mediocre. Yeah.
Also came out last year, and Street Fighter Cross Tekken coming out for PS3. So, not a bad lineup, really. I mean, both have some decent games. Metro Last Light, you should totally play though.
Yeah,
and Outlast, I may just hear myself shitless. Last but not least, talked about it in the break. I want to open up a Twitch stream. For when me and Rusty are playing shitloads of PC games, and maybe we'll just message each other and say, "Hey, do you want me to let me use the Twitch stream?" But maybe I get free channels going, or
when Thief comes out, I'll be on there playing that. So we can stream me playing Thief. So because I have that already paid for and just waiting for it to come out. So.
Well, it would make more sense. I don't. Probably won't be doing total game commentary. I'll actually be playing with other people.
Right,
but just, if you want to check out something like some of this alpha shit we're talking about.
Just don't give it to Matt, because then it'll just be 24/7 Warcraft.
No, actually, he's got his own Twitch feed.
I'm joking.
Yeah, he was doing Don't Starve, actually, for a long time.
Is it Matt of Warcraft?
No, he just wants to play more stuff.
It's World of Mattcraft.
So with that, I don't have anything
.com
else.
.com/World of Mattcraft. Alright, so with that, we're pretty much going to wrap everything up. We don't really have Gauntlet on right now. It's suspended at the moment as we basically do a restructuring on it. We do have our Dota Wednesdays, which is what time, guys?
7 to 11 right now.
7 to 11, maybe a little bit later.
Central time.
And that's on PC. That's Dota 2, free to play, epic fun, lots of
hours.
Hey,
and if you follow the Twitter, I do post right before it happens, usually an hour or so before.
Yep.
What our Steam names are so you can find us. And then all the details on there, if it's just going to be me or it's going to be just Rusty or whatever.
Yep.
We're going to keep the tradition going. We'll try to be on both at the same time, but hey, life happens, or you want to play something else, or you might want to play something
school.
Else. Yeah.
Or terrible freaking
shit happens.
People at work.
So, and basically with that, that's all we really got, except for our shout-outs, which Justin will now ring your ears with.
You have For the Love of Gaming, we have BMFcast.com, TheCarouselPodcast.com, ElseWorldsPodcast, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.tv, The Do Good Things. Find us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Tilcast. Find us on Facebook.com/Tilcast. Find us on Stitcher and iTunes, search Tilcast. Email us at tbag@tilcast.com. And that's all I got.
Alright, and so with that, we're going to stop the cadence, and we're going to go ahead and wrap it up and be done for tonight. So, Everybody have a good night, and that's about it.
Woohoo, sleep.
Yay.
Bye.